This is North Shore High School football on MSONewsSports.com. I'm Bill Newell along with Tim Kearns, and this afternoon we're in Beverly for game number one for two high school football teams, Beverly and Wakefield. It was a good year last year for Beverly High School, 8 wins, 3 losses, but they have a new coach in Andrew Morenci, former coach Dan Bauer moving on to become the principal at Marblehead High School. Meanwhile, Stephen Cummings at Wakefield High School, they were had a little bit of a disappointing season a year ago at 3-8, but they're back looking to improve on this year, but they're without their starting quarterback, Kobe Nato, who injured himself, who got injured, in the last Friday night, about eight days ago, at Lynn English in a game. Well, Tim, in a scrimmage. So, Tim, now, what's your thoughts on this matchup for Beverly with a new coach and Wakefield trying to got year two together under Coach Cummings?
Well, certainly Wakefield's going to come in here with the memory of the win that Beverly put on them last year. A resounding defeat that, you know, almost set the tone for the rest of their season. Beverly's coming in, new coach, new coaching staff, new offensive system. They're back at Hurst Stadium for the first time in over a year. New stands on the far side, new grassy area here. There's a lot of new things for the Beverly players. So they're going to be looking to come in to reestablish that Beverly tradition, all this newness around them. And from the tone of it, I was at a scrimmage recently. There's a lot of excitement, a lot of enthusiasm. I expect Beverly to come out right away and assert themselves.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll check in with both head coaches, Andrew Morenci from Beverly High School and Steve Cummings from Wakefield, just ahead as our pregame show rolls on from a loud Hurst Stadium in Beverly.
Score early and often this fall with a low-rate residential loan from the Institution for Savings. The Institution for Savings has fantastic rates, low or no fees, great service, and prompt turnaround. Plus, we service our mortgages in-house, so help is always a local phone call away. For more information or to apply online 24/7, visit institutionforsavingsloans.com or call us at 978-462-2344. Institution for Savings, member FDIC and DIF, equal housing lender.
Hi folks, this is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. If you're thinking of replacing the windows in your home, you should look at the Anderson Woodwright double hung insert window, which comes with rich wood interiors in oak, pine, or maple. Quite simply, Anderson is the most trusted window in America. That's why we've been selling them for 57 years. Please see the Anderson Woodwright windows on display at any of our three locations in North Reading, Beverly, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Looking for a reliable place to produce your team's uniforms or your business's corporate apparel? Then Sarkisian Sportswear is the place for you. Conveniently located on Route 1 South in Peabody, Mass., Sarkisian Sportswear handles all aspects of your needs, from price quoting to providing visual proofs to production completion. Visit our website, SarkisianSports.com, to view our monthly specials, vendor catalogs, and to request a quote. Remember, Sarkisian Sportswear is the place to go.
People come in, take a seat, you're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. We treat you right, day or night, satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Catch a game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever your plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
This game is brought to you by the Institution for Savings, your local community bank since 1821, with great rates, great service, and great people. Harrington Trophy, rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years with quality products and service, located in Lynn and at HarringtonTrophy.com. Moynihan Lumber, of Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire. The Sylvan Street Grill. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill. The Daily Item of Lynn and ItemLive.com. Click on their banner on our website to access their respective news and sports coverage.
This is MSO, NewsSports.com. I'm Bill Newell, joined by Steve Cummings, head football coach at Wakefield High School. And Steve, the big news out of Wakefield football in the past week has been the injury to your star and starting quarterback. Update us on that. The injury happened last Friday in Lynn.
Yeah, just before the half, we were running a little screen play. Threw the ball, somebody came, and, you know, just one of those freak things. It, you know, he landed around his leg, and you know, instead of his foot sliding out, it's stuck in the turf, and he ended up breaking his fibula and his tibia and his right leg, which is going to end his year, which is too bad because he was having a great summer, you know, really taking on a leadership role, you know, so now, you know, with him being out, just had surgery, had a couple plates put in, a couple screws, you know, he's still going to come back and be a leader for us, just not on the field anymore. But he's still going to be a guy that's a big part of the program. So now we have Mike Lucy, who's a sophomore. He's going to come in. Mike's shown great poise throughout the camp. He's made really good strides. So we're not, you know, it's not like we're starting from scratch. You know, Mike's a kid who can run our offense. He's got a big arm. He's football smart. You know, he's kind of got all those little things you want. You know, but he's kind of going to have to learn pretty quick because, you know, he's going to be the guy that goes in week one. And, you know, I know Beverly from seeing them on tape, they're pretty aggressive. They like to send their linebackers, throw the different looks at you. So, you know, we think he can handle it. But again, you're not going to know what these young kids until you get them on the field first week.
How does that, clearly that impacts your offense, but maybe describe what your offense, what you would have liked to have done with Kobe, but then, you know, how you adjust without him?
We were really going to try to hang our hat on running the ball this year, so it doesn't change that much. What we lose with Kobe is, you know, Kobe's, he started about 5 games for us last year, so he's got varsity experience. He's able to read a defense very well. He finds little windows, you know, he's able to kind of pump fake and move guys with his body movement to open up other things, which Mike doesn't have yet. But in terms of running the ball, you know, we still have really good running backs. Our offensive line's been doing a great job this camp. So, you know, I think it'll allow teams to kind of gear up in the box a little bit more for us. So we're going to have to be able to take shots and, you know, kind of give Mike a few things to look at and, you know, in order to check out of things and throw the ball down the field. But overall offensive scheme wise, it really doesn't change things for us a lot. Like I said, Mike's also been having a really good camp. You know, he was a kid who we thought could come in and push for the starting quarterback job as a sophomore anyway. He's just kind of got that knack about him where he doesn't really seem to get rattled. He kind of keeps his wits about him, stays very even keel the whole time. So, you know, with him going in, like I said, we lose a lot of the experience. You know, a lot of the stuff Mike's going to have to pick up on the fly. But, you know, it's football. It is what it is. And sometimes you got to, you know, you get put in these spots and you got to coach your way into it.
No doubt about it. Well, Steve, tell us about, give us a little preview of your offense, you know, as far as players are concerned, some of the key players you're relying on offensively.
Probably the biggest player offensively is Joe Marinaccio. You know, he's kind of like a Swiss Army knife. He can kind of do it all. You know, we've put him in the backfield where he's taking the snaps at quarterback, running some read option stuff. Really good year at tailback for us last year. We put him in the slot. He's a guy that we run jet motions with. He can catch the ball really well. So he kind of does a little bit of everything. He's a tough kid. He's also one of our starting middle linebackers. So just in terms of overall football wise, I mean, he's huge for our team. So we got it. We continue to find different ways to get the ball in his hand. You know, whether we got to split him out wide or put him inside or whatever it is we have to do with him. He's a huge guy for us. Another kid offensively that's really been picking up the slack for us is Ryan Fitzpatrick. He's a kid who he's a junior. We lost him early last year. He broke his wrist in a JV game, but he's come out this year. He's been flying around and he's another kid who, you know, we've been trying to find places to put him on the field just to get him the ball because he's a shifty kid. He runs hard, but he can make people miss. You know, football IQ is off the charts. He gets spacing and, you know, he's a little bit ahead of it for a kid his age. But, you know, we have a couple guys that we know of that we can, you know, we can count on. If we can get those guys in space, one-on-one situations, we're going to win a lot more than we lose.
How about on the defensive side of the football? Who would the scouts really single out on Wakefield this year?
You know, Joe Marinaccio is, you know, as I talked to before, is one of our starting middle linebackers. Makes great reads and flows. And the kid right next to him, PJ Iannuzzi, is another one of our senior captains. He's a 2-year starter at middle linebacker. He really anchors our defense. He's our Mike linebacker, so he's going to make all the calls, takes care of the huddle. He's been doing a great job with us so far in camp. You know, last year we had a really good core of guys around him, and he kind of stepped in when they graduated and took the leadership role. So, you know, he's a kid who kind of sticks out on tape a little bit when you watch. He's really fast. He's great at the point of contact. In the back end of our defense, we have Alex McKenna. He's one of our returning safeties who really does a great job in space. Comes up, he tackles really well for a safety. He's a kid who we kind of move back and forth between safety and outside linebacker because he can do it. He can handle the different spots. You know, so we have some dynamic guys on defense, some guys who play. Our D-line as a whole, and I don't really want to single anybody out, but our D-line as a whole, we've got a good rotation of about 8 or 9 guys that we get in. And they're really good at just kind of knowing their responsibility, eating gaps, making sure our linebackers can flow sideline to sideline and make plays. And that's been a big part of what we've been able to be successful with this offseason so far.
Finally, last two questions. Next to last one would be the game against Beverly. What kind of a game? Where are the matches? Where are the keys in this game as you see it?
Well, we're going to get a different look from Beverly this year. You know, as everyone knows, Andrew Morenci took over the job at Beverly for Dan Bauer, who did a great job with that program for a long time. But they were wing T, and, you know, it was really hard to prepare for. And now it's different. So it's a little strange watching Beverly on tape and not seeing him in that wing T and doing all the, you know, the formation trades or whatever. So it's going to be a little bit different because we're not really sure what we're getting ourselves into. You know, we've got a couple scrimmage tapes to go off of. But, you know, it's hard to tell what their bread and butter is going to be. Are they going to be a running team? Are they going to be a passing team? So we got to kind of feel that one out on the fly. That's going to be the toughest part. Defensively, they seem very sound up front. They have a middle linebacker on tape, and you know, he doesn't miss much. You know, he comes downhill and he fills, and you know, I haven't seen him miss too much on tape in terms of tackling. But they're very athletic, they're very fast, they have decent size. So we know we got our work cut out for us.
Yeah. And finally, your coaching staff. Maybe share with us who's on the coaching staff. Anyone new this year for Wakefield football?
Coaching staff has stayed mostly the same. We had one change in our coaching staff this year. We brought in Wakefield guy Sean Smith, who's been working with our youth program for a while. Sean played his college ball at Auburn University. So he brings just a wealth of knowledge to the defensive secondary, offensive football. And just the places that he's been and the level of football that he's played, and he's got a passion for the game. You know, it's just something that people feed off of, the kids and even the coaches. He comes out to practice sometimes. He's got that big voice and you can tell how into it he is. And it just kind of, it just gets you going in the right direction. So it was a huge pickup for us to pick him up. But you know, Ruben Reynoso is going to continue to be our offensive coordinator. Chris Tolios is going to continue to be our defensive coordinator. So we didn't have a lot of turnover, but I felt like the move that we did make, bringing Sean in, is going to pay off huge.
All right, Coach, good luck to you. Thanks for joining us. And Steve, thanks, and we'll see you on Saturday.
Thank you very much.
Steve Cummings, head football coach at Wakefield High School, with us on MSONewsSports.com.
Harrington's Trophy and Awards has been rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years. Hi, I'm Kevin Harrington.
And I am Marty Harrington, and we are known for our local family business, providing custom trophies, plaques, screen printing, embroidery, and much more. We offer a variety of services such as engraving wedding gifts, medals for charity walks, youth sports trophies, and uniforms. From the newest style performance wear to your everyday work shirts, we are your one-stop shop. Whether it's a fantasy football, warm-up suits for your team, end-of-the-year banquet gifts, or recognizing excellence, we pride our business on our exceptional customer service and quality products. Located in Lynn, or visit our website at harringtontrophy.com.
The Bradford Tavern Restaurant in Raleigh is unique, with modern touches in a rustic setting, offering the finest steaks, freshest seafood, and many quality daily specials. Serving lunch and dinner, the Bradford Tavern is open 7 days a week. The restaurant features two separate function rooms, ideal for every need, including business meetings, bridal and baby showers, or any special event. The Bradford Tavern is located at 87 Haverhill Street, Route 133 in Raleigh, and online at bradfordtavern.com. We hope to see you soon at the Bradford Tavern. The Institution for Savings has always believed in giving back to our communities, because our communities are such great places to live and work. Last year alone, we donated and pledged more than $3.9 million to local nonprofits, including local hospitals, schools, food pantries, art organizations, and more. Named one of Boston Business Journal's top philanthropic companies, we are proud to be your local hometown bank. InstitutionForSavings.com. Member FDIC, DIF, Equal Housing Lender.
If you are interested in replacing your home's kitchen cabinets, please see the kitchen cabinet showrooms at any of Moynihan Lumber's three locations in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Many aspects of estate planning are interrelated, and you can turn to attorney Bob Andruga for full-service estate planning to help you develop a comprehensive plan in providing for your future. Bob will work with you through the years to adapt your plan as needed, and he can assist you with managing wills, trust, probate, and taxes. Visit the law offices of Robert J. Madruga at 128 Main Street, Gloucester, or call today for an appointment at 978-283-6883.
This game is brought to you in part by the Gloucester House Restaurant, offering the freshest seafood right off their boats to your plate. Sarkisian Sportswear, delivering quality team and corporate apparel, located on Route 1 South in Peabody, and at SarkisianSports.com. Lynn Museum, Lynn Arts, preserving Lynn's past and promoting Lynn's future at 590 Washington Street. Columbia Insurance of Lynn, offering auto, home, condo, renters, and business insurance, delivering complete peace of mind. Attorney Robert J. Madruga, see Bob for estate planning and tax preparation. Gloria Food Store, Rantoul Street, Beverly. Honeydew Donuts of Lynn, Salem, Malden, and East Boston. This is Panther Preview, brought to you by Gloria Food Store, 268 Rantoul Street in Beverly.
This is MSONewsSports.com. I'm Bill Newell with Andrew Morenci, head football coach at Beverly High School. And Andrew, ready to kick off your first season as head coach in Beverly. How's it feel to be back back with the Panthers after being a player and a Hall of Famer here?
Well, Bill, it's great. You know, it's certainly that the dust has settled a little bit on some of the things initially that made it so special. Now it's really hard work. It's day to day. And that's something that definitely the kids, myself, coaches, we're all working for this first game. So we're really focused on that first game.
There has to be a lot. I mean, you've been a head coach before, so you're no stranger to being a head coach. But what's it like coming into starting a whole new system up again?
It's not easy. There's a lot of transition. The kids are excited. They're very much a heady group. They're a group that understands what's at stake. And there's a lot of senior leadership, so they're really able to adjust to a lot of the things we want to do so far.
The game against Wakefield. So how do you see this game against Wakefield?
Wakefield, well, I tell you, they're a very tough group. They got some size. They're gritty. They fly to the ball a little bit. Offensively, they get some weapons all over the field. So, as far as a formidable opponent, they're formidable. And we're going to have to match that with the same intensity. And we feel like we have a good shot to do that, but certainly we're going to have to come to play. So Wakefield definitely is a very good team. They play in a tough league.
No doubt about that. Andrew, what about if you were to kind of scout your offense, who'd be players that you'd kind of walk away with and say, check, 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 I got to keep an eye on these guys?
Well, I think that our skill guys are strong. Sam Abedi, Kyle Chenard, Kevin Flaherty, and Hugh Calise. These are all guys who can make plays both running and catching the ball. Defensively, our middle backers led by Nick Shears and Hugh Calise, they fly and they're tough. They make plays. So I think that for us, our skill guys are pretty strong, and on defense, our middle backers, they kind of lead us.
How about in scrimmages so far this year? Where have you seen some progress? Where has the growth been? But where is there a need for improvement?
So in scrimmages, we've done well versus Winthrop. We came out strong. We had a good day. We did some great things. And then versus Tewksbury, they were a tough opponent. We weren't really able to run the ball as much, but we saw a lot of potential in throwing the ball, made some big plays, and our defense was strong. Our first D hasn't really given up a touchdown. So we're very happy about that. But still, offensively, we feel like we got to clean it up a little bit.
All right. And I also, in the first time we meet as sportscaster, announcer, I'd like to have you run through your coaching staff for us, if you could, because a lot of new faces, I'm sure.
Sure. Assistant Coach Scott Shears is our defensive coordinator. Assistant Coach Milton Brown, he coaches wide receivers and outside backers. Mark Thomas is a kind of a castover from the prior regime. He helps out on outside backers and offensive line. Pat Henneberry does offensive and defensive lines, and Coach Fultz does running backs and D-backs. So that's our full staff. A lot of Beverly guys, a lot of guys that have been with me for a while in Hamilton. So we're excited. We have a pretty close-knit group.
And finally, Coach, anything else I didn't ask you about Beverly football that you'd like to share here?
Well, I just think it is special to kind of start the new season anytime in the fall, the new season. So we're just excited to get this group, these seniors, a chance to go out there and show what they're worth. And, with Hurd Stadium opening up, and there's a lot of excitement. So I'm just hoping the seniors have a good day.
Good. All right, Andrew, thanks for joining us.
Bill, appreciate it, buddy. Thank you very much.
Andrew Morency, head football coach at Beverly High School, with us here on MSONewsSports.com.
Gloria Food Store is still Beverly's number one deli, and no matter what New England weather is thrown at us, Gloria is open. With fresh bread delivered from Sunray Bakery every morning, Gloria can provide party platters, calzones, hot trays, cold trays, salad trays, and finger sandwiches for whatever you have planned. Call in your order at 978-922-3613, stop in at 268 Rantoul Street, or visit GloriaFoodStore.com.
Welcome back to Hurd Stadium in Beverly. I'm Bill Newell along with Tim Kearns for this afternoon's broadcast here on MSONewsSports.com. Beverly 8-3 a year ago. That was under head coach Dan Bauer, who spent 13 years patrolling the sidelines here at Hurd Stadium. Well, maybe 12 years, because last year they didn't patrol the sidelines here at Hurd Stadium due to the renovations. But anyways, 13 years at Beverly, and now Andrew Morency taking over the program. Wakefield 3-8. Steve Cummings came in last year to take over for Mike Boyages, the retired AD and football coach. They struggled at 3-8, but they're hoping for better things this year. But they received a real blow, as we mentioned a little while ago. Last week, 8 days ago in a scrimmage at Lynn English, they lost Kobe Nato, their quarterback, a senior, an outstanding multi-sport athlete at Wakefield High School.
Yeah, he was he put on a great show last year, even in defeat. It was very, very, very impressive. And anytime you lose your starting quarterback and you're trying to, rebuild after a disappointing season, that's a blow. It's something you really can't make up for. You hope that you have a younger player who who's capable of stepping up. You know, you get Brady and Garoppolo. Garoppolo certainly has a lot more experience than the youngsters here. But a similar situation, you know, there are a lot of unknowns that go into the equation. The player has different strengths than the other starter does, and the coach has to take that into consideration, and the offense has to take that into consideration as you're trying to make those adjustments.
Well, let's check a look at the scoreboard from last night on the North Shore. Gloucester defeated Lynn Classical 21-19 in our live streaming video game. That video is posted on our website if you'd like to watch that game. Gloucester at Lynn Classical last night. Again, the Fishermen winning 21-19. It was Swampscott beating Lynn English 11-8 in overtime. Danvers downing Winthrop 27-7 in a broadcast game here on MSO News Sports. Archbishop Williams 31, Salem 6. Marblehead shut out Walpole 27-0. Marblehead will be playing at Wakefield next Friday night. That may be a radio game or a video game here on MSO News Sports. It might be a change in our broadcast schedule for next week. We'll keep you posted. Triton at Peabody. Triton beating Peabody last night 23-13. It was Medford edging Revere 30-28. Austin Prep topping Saugus 20-6. Other scores from Friday night: Melrose 26, Masconomet 13. North Reading beating Ipswich 21-13. That game at North Reading. Bishop Fenwick shutting out Hamilton Wenham 22-0. Manchester at home winning against Northeast 21-12. Newburyport under first-year coach Mike Levine topping Linfield 32-12. It was Cathedral beating Essex Tech 28-24. Georgetown over Matignon 33-0. Today, this Beverly Wakefield game here live on Channel A. St. John's Prep hosting Haverhill at 2 this afternoon. Kicking off now in Pentucket. It's Pentucket hosting Canton. Tonight, St. Mary's hosting Boston Tech. And underway in Beverly, college football, it is Hobart at Endicott College this afternoon. That was a noon kick at Endicott College.
And as we get scores coming in, we'll be passing them along, both on the high school and collegiate level. UMass jumped out to a quick 7-0 lead over Boston College. I'm interested to see how that one plays out, the Battle of the Bay State.
New uniforms for Beverly this year. They've got the all-black. We saw Lynn English in the all-maroon last night. Beverly's got the all-black, black shirts, black pants, orange numerals. Wakefield with the light-colored pants and white shirts and the bright red numerals and helmets across the way. Again, our two head coaches, Andrew Morenci for Beverly High School and Steve Cummings for Wakefield High School. Kevin Morenci is the Beverly quarterback. He's the nephew of head coach Andrew Morenci, 5'8", 145-pound senior, while Wakefield's starting quarterback will be sophomore Mike Lucy. So Mike Lucy filling in for the injured Kobe Nado. Wakefield will kick off to Beverly to get today's game underway. Alex Jolie will be the kicker. He's a junior. We'll kick from right to left, kind of teeing it up near the hash mark here. Just physically, again, for folks that know Hurt Stadium or are not familiar with it, the old home stands are all gone. So the brand new stands across the way were the visitor stands, the old press box gone. What are we in, Tim? It's called a storage unit.
Storage container.
Which is not appropriate.
It's a shipping container.
Oh, a shipping container. That's right. Yes. I'm afraid. I feel like a freighter may pull up during the game, and we'll be off. You know, we'll be out at sea here at some point. But yeah, we're in a shipping container on where the old home stands used to be, down below where the old press box used to be. So here is Alex Jolie's kick, a short kick fielded by an upback at the 44-yard line. No return there, just covered up very neatly by Beverly High School. Covering that football up was Clayton McAlpine.
First and 10 for the Panthers.
First and 10 for Beverly.
First and 10 at the 44-yard line.
Yeah, I don't know if the threat of some inclement weather keeping some of the fans away, but I thought it would be much better attended, even for the beginning of the game here. The grass area out in front is great for fans as long as the weather is nice. The stands across the way, the replacement stands, are probably two-thirds of the size of the former stands.
Kevin Morenci at quarterback, two wideouts far side left, one slotted to that left side. Formation behind the quarterback, Morenci, the 5'8 senior, fakes a handoff. Here comes the big rush on him, though, scrambling out to the left side, avoids one tackle, avoids a second, running back right,
and he's slammed
down and tackled there. big tackle there PJ Iannuzzi.
And
the ball went loose as he was slammed to the ground. So we're seeing we're seeing some agility by Kevin Morency, but he was struggling. From the 44-yard line, he goes all the way back to the 30, so a 14-yard loss for Beverly on their first play.
Yes, Wakefield senior linebacker and captain PJ Iannuzzi blasted through a gap in the offensive line and gave chase immediately, almost had him tripped up by the ankles. And didn't give up on the pursuit as Morency swung back in front of him. He finally pulled him down.
Minus 14 there. Here's a Beverly run play straight ahead. Carrying it is Kyle Schwinard. Big opener out over the left side. He's up to midfield, down to the Wakefield 45 to the 40 before he is taken down.
Kyle Schwinard with the carry.
Kyle Schwinard. So Schwinard gets 30 yards. 30-yard
run by Kyle Schwinard.
He goes from his 30 down to the Wakefield 40-yard line.
Great hole on the left side of the offensive line. He hit it quickly, decisively, and again, get into that second layer. And just was a touchdown-saving tackle by the defensive back for Wakefield.
Back and forth action here with Beverly holding the maintaining the football here. They now have it at the Wakefield 40-yard line. Kevin Morency, Jordan Paracella is the center. He's a senior, 5'11", 230 pounds. We'll give the rest of the Beverly line in just a moment. Sam Abadie in motion from right to left, now back to the right. Morency pitches it to the tailback. This is Schwinard coming right side. He's to the 36-yard. Or he is got a four-yard gain there.
Bring up second down.
The rest
six.
Of the offensive line, Nick Scher is at a guard. He's 5'8", 195 pounds senior. Jake Bale, senior, 5'9", 250 at the other guard. Ben Ames at a tackle, 6'4", 270 junior. And Paul O'Feish, a junior, 6'2", 220.
No problem.
So that's the Beverly offensive line. Hugh Callis at an end. Sam Abadie also seeing some end action as well. Now two wideouts, far side left on the second and four. Give to the tailback, run play. Off the right side of the line, that's Abadie.
Sam
down
Abadie
to
with
the
carry.
33-yard. Yard line.
3 yard carry will bring up third down and
3 yards for Abadie. 8 minutes 45 seconds to go. First quarter, Beverly and Wakefield here on MSONewsSports.com. You can follow us on Twitter at MSONewsSports, Facebook page, also Instagram coming up online soon. Fullback and a tailback for Beverly High School. Clayton McAlpine, the fullback for Beverly High School. And Abadie, the tailback. Here's the give to the wing coming back inside from the left side off the right side of the line. It's cut short of the first down, which would be the 30.
Kevin Flaherty with the
carry. So he's about Kevin Flaherty, the ball carrier.
P.J. Iannuzzi again on the tackle. Took him down low, cut his feet up from underneath him. Limited that to just a couple-yard gain.
Going to bring up fourth and a short one.
So Beverly in three-down territory here in Wakefield territory, just shy of the 30. They've got a third and a fourth rather in one, but they're really like a foot away from the first down. But you can't tell on a grass field with the Lions when they bring the chains out. Beverly up, giving to the tailback, straight ahead run. Big power run there by Beverly High School's
Hugh Callis with the carry.
Hugh Callis coming back.
3 yards, first down.
Callis
for 3 yards.
Callis is good for another Panthers first down.
7 minutes, 40 seconds to go. Ball is to the 28-yard line. In that backfield, Clayton McAlpine, Kyle Schwinard, Kevin Flaherty, Hugh Callis is, let's see, where is he now? Is he at left end? I formation in the backfield with McAlpine, the fullback, behind the tailback, Kyle Schwinard. Morency wants to pass, does so out on the left side. It's incomplete. Abadie, the intended receiver, out on the left side. Good pressure put on him by Alex McKenna of Wakefield High School.
Yeah, the pass went a little bit high and behind intended receiver. He had to step back and then reach up for it, and that gave the defender a chance to close in on him and hit him just as the ball got there. So it would have been a difficult catch at a full stretch.
Yeah, dangerous pass, too, in the sense that it's going a lot of sideways passing and rather than vertical. And it hung up there a little bit. So here's a second down and 10 after the incomplete pass. Two wideouts again out to the left side. I formation in the backfield. Hugh Callis tight end right side for Beverly. Morenci fakes, does hand off to Schwinnard off the right side of the line down to the 25 yard line.
Schwinnard with the carry.
Knee down at the 25, so he gets three.
3 yard pickup for Schwinnard brings up.
Schwinnard closing in on the 40 yard mark. He had that big 30 yard run a moment ago. Five different ball carriers here for Beverly, if you count quarterback Kevin Morenci's sack at the first play of the game. Two wideouts, far side left, including Flaherty, split way out to the left side. Beverly working left to right here in this first quarter. The give is to the tailback, and Schwinnard hits off the left side of the line, picks up a few yards down shy of the 20.
Kyle Schwinnard with the
Did a nice job of spinning off of the hits. He took an immediate hit just as he got to the line of scrimmage, spun out, spun beyond the line of scrimmage, got hit again, and spun for a couple more yards.
Fourth and three, right?
So we got a fourth and three here for Beverly.
Ball at the 21-yard line. They got to get down to the 18-yard line for a first down.
Phil Stacey, a crack statistician, sitting next to me.
Beverly attempting a field goal attempt from the 28, a 38-yard attempt here. Snap is low. Procedure call against Beverly. See if this changes the thinking of Coach Andrew Morenci. Luke Samperi, the kicker. Morenci was the holder. Now it looks like they're going to they take the 5 yard penalty, so the ball is back out to the 26. So a 36 yard attempt. Check that. No. Now they'll take a timeout here and maybe figure something else out here. So it's now going to be a fourth down and 8.
Timeout, Beverly.
With the ball out at the 26 yard line. We don't have that high great view that we used to have here.
No, we're a bit lower.
A little bit of a disadvantage for us. Another disadvantage for us is just us. That's, we are who we are. That does. As we were talking last night, Tim, it's probably negative, right? It's a negative, something negative, I suppose.
Negative numbers. Negative numbers kill me.
Yeah. All right, here we go. Beverly not going for the field goal now. Fourth down and 8. And the fake handoff. Morenci out to pass, looking for Callis. Way down on the right side. It's up for grabs. Incomplete. Flag falls. This could be interference.
Holding
but
call.
Who's it on?
Indicated by the side judge. He was sandwiched between two Wakefield defenders down there. And what are they going to call? Looked like pretty good defense.
Yeah, Hugh Callis is saying that's a hold against Wakefield defensively.
Holding penalty against Wakefield.
So that gives Beverly the first down, down inside the 30. So they needed to get to the 18 for the first down. So now they would be placed down at the 16-yard line.
10-yard penalty brings up first down and 10 on the Wakefield 16.
Ball is at the 16-yard line. First possession of this game. 5:26 to play first quarter. No score here between Beverly and Wakefield here this afternoon on MSONewsSports.com. Morenci barking out the signals, gives to the tailback Schwinnard, wrapped up right away.
Schwinnard with the carry.
But he might have a yard, but a good tackle there by Pat Leary, the junior safety. Came up.
2 yards.
Gain of 2 yards.
2 yard gain brings up second
ball
down.
Ball placed down at the 14-yard line.
Boston College has scored against UMass, a 46-yard touchdown pass from Tolles to Jeff Smith. So BC is on the board.
Panthers break out of the huddle. They have McAlpine, the fullback, Kyle Schwinnard, the tailback, behind quarterback Kevin Morenci running out of the eye. Schwinnard takes the handoff, pushes ahead for a yard, maybe two, down inside the 14, 13. He's lucky if he has the 13.
Actually,
1 yard.
1 yard gain will bring up
maybe
third
1 yard
seven.
To the
13. So now it's third down and seven, a long seven. 4 minutes, 15 seconds to play in the first quarter. Tim, you said a lot of folks would have picnic baskets here this afternoon on the grass
any,
here, but
I don't really see any picnic baskets. I'm really disappointed. Picnic baskets.
Yogi Bear. Exactly. Phil, that might could be a reference before your time. I'm not sure. Here's a throw over the middle into the end, to the 1 yard line, and Sam Abatey has the catch. Stopped short of the goal line at the 1 yard line.
Yeah, he got knocked down by, picking
number 12-yard pass.
Yeah, number three, Andrew Miller, junior defensive back for Wakefield, managed to get in between him and the end zone. So, but it's a first down throw. Excellent throw from Arensi.
12-yard pass brings up first down and goal from the one.
Gavin caught it.
Oh, okay.
That was 80 that caught it.
Oh, okay.
I thought it was 20.
Gavin caught that football, apparently. Fake handoff. Rolling out left is Morency from the 1 yard line. Loops one into the end zone, and a catch is made by Flaherty.
Jeez, a Flaherty scores a touchdown for Beverly. What a surprise.
Kevin Morency pass is complete to Kevin Flaherty.
He was open for quite a while. He was running almost from the edge of the goalpost towards the left far corner with his hand waving, trying to get Morency's attention. Morency finally caught him, and he was able to loop the pass over to the defensive back, who had recovered and had pretty good position in front of Flaherty, but just high enough over his outstretched hands that Flaherty was able to reel it in for Beverly's first touchdown of the season.
Point after kick is up. It's very strong, and it is good. Point after kick by Luke Samperi.
So one Beverly football family to another Beverly football family. Morency to Flaherty.
7-0 Panthers.
Yeah, you know, some things in the world don't change. I mean, you come to Hurd Stadium on a Saturday afternoon and you have a Flaherty or a Morency or somebody.
Or an Abatey.
Or an Abatey, exactly, right. Yeah, I mean, that's not bad. So they started at their 44, so a 56-yard drive, as it turns out. How about that? A 56-yard drive takes up all but 3 minutes and 21 seconds of the first quarter.
Now, again, grinded out football.
I think that's right. Yeah, started at the 44. Yeah, 56-yard drive. Yeah, I thought that was Abatey, but I guess we'll stand corrected here.
We'll go to the film.
We'll go to the film. Go to the videotape. Our officials here, our referee is Skip Likens. Our umpire is Steve Alvino. Dick Sawchuk is the linesman. Frank Pasca, the line judge. Mark Dillon, the back judge. Phil Brody is the official clock keeper here today. Kickoff goes from left to right to Wakefield. They run it back out over the 20, 25, maybe out near the 28-yard line on the return.
I didn't know.
Offensive line for Wakefield High School, Dan Cataldo, Pat Beaver, Pat Bertini, Charlie Sr., Brian McGonigal, Devin O'Brien, Joe Connell, a captain. They'll all see action on that offensive line. They send two wideouts near side left, one far side right, and the quarterback at the Wakefield Warriors is Mike Lucy. Hands off, run out to the 30-yard line, about a 2-yard gain on the first play for Wakefield of the 2016 season. 7-0, Beverly is leading. Beverly scoring on that pass from Kevin Morency to Kevin Flaherty. Kevin to Kevin. Oh, good 2-yard gain. Here's a direct snap back to the quarterback, Lucy. Runs straight ahead with it himself on the keeper, maybe for a yard. Snap was a little bit high on the shotgun look for Wakefield.
Tackle by
makes a nice pulls down the snap. Shares credited with the tackle for Beverly High School. You can set the Panther defense for you as well.
Third down and 5 for Wakefield.
Third down and 5 up front for Beverly. Clayton McAlpine, Jake Vale, Kyle Champlain, Patrick Gavin, Linebackers include Hugh Callis, Nick Shears, and Clark Marchand. Get the secondary for you in a moment. Lucy takes a direct snap, keeps it himself, runs straight ahead, cut down. Maybe a gain out to the 35.
Hugh Callis on the tackle.
There's Hugh Callis. He's just going to talk about Callis.
You know,
was he league MVP last year defensively or not?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
He was a beast.
Yeah.
The first game that we did here, he had a pick six. Just a beast. The game against English, he had pick six. What a game. Oh, my Lord.
I mean, if you're an opponent, you don't want to see him bearing down on you. That's
he's a load.
That's for sure. 1:32 to go.
Four for Wakefield.
In the first quarter, 7-0, Beverly is leading. Timeout called by Wakefield. They come back out. Now we'll punt. They have a 4th-and-3 with the ball at their 35-yard line.
Sam Abedi back.
Pat Leary to punt. Puts it right foot of the ball. Good, good, strong punt. Sam Abedi pushed way back to the 20-yard line. Turns it upfield. Running left. 25, 30. Out to the 35, 40. Down the sidelines to midfield. Sam Abedi cut down there.
Sam Abedi
tackled there by Pat Leary. One of the tacklers for Wakefield High School. Oh, man, he sliced his way right around the left side and up those left sidelines from left to right here at Hurd Stadium, giving Beverly the football in good field position for their second possession right at midfield.
Yeah, they had a nice wall set up for him on the far side of the field, and he took advantage of it. They sealed it off nicely, and he broke up. Again, at the 50-yard line, Beverly starts at a really solid field position. Some of the players on the Wakefield defense. Number 3, Andrew Miller, a safety.
31-yard punt return for Sam Abedi.
Will Shea, a linebacker, senior.
Kyle Schwinard is a split end now out to the near side right here. Now comes back in motion to the left side behind the quarterback. Morenci, who's right behind center, hands off on a give to a running back without a gain, maybe even a loss on the play. Abedi, the ball carrier.
Taken down by Carmen Santorino, Sorrentino, senior linebacker for Wakefield.
Also out there defensively, Alex McKenna, one of their captains. Ryan Fitzpatrick back there defensively for Wakefield High School as well. Here's Flaherty coming near side right on as a wideout. High formation in behind the 5'8", 145-pound senior Beverly quarterback Kevin Morenci. Toss out to the right side. The catch is made just enough for a first down to Flaherty. Flaherty makes the catch at the 40 and bends his way forward down to the 38 of Wakefield.
Yeah, real nice route run by
Morenci.
I'm going to forget his name, Flaherty. Again, he was down about 10 yards and then just cut through the middle of the field. And Morenci had it right on time as he made his cut. The ball was there. Nice two-hand catch by Flaherty as well. Pulled it in and then got hit and taken down.
Wideouts 2 to the far side left, none to the near side right, and the quarter comes to an end.
So this is something we haven't seen a whole lot of with Beverly over the past few years, with Beverly focusing on the wing T offense, is the ball going airborne, going down the field.
All right,
go ahead.
We'll step aside. We're at the end of one with the score, Beverly 7, Wakefield nothing on MSONewsSports.com.
The Gloucester House Restaurant at historic Seven Seas Wharf, 63 Rogers Street, Gloucester. This is owner Lenny Linquata.
We provide service and product better than anybody else. It comes directly from our boats right to your plate. We have fishermen that work great for us. We are wholesalers that we buy what we want to serve to our customers, and we put the rest of it right out in the market.
The Gloucester House Restaurant. Visit thegloucesterhouse.com.
This is the freshest seafood you can get from our boats to your plate.
If you're thinking of renovating your home, please talk to the experienced sales staff at Moynihan Lumber. That's 82 River Street in downtown Beverly. Or visit us at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Back in Beverly, Bill Newell along with Tim Kearns getting ready for the second quarter. Phil Stacey of the Salem News is covering it for the news today. You know, you think of big Beverly names, like you said, Tim, Flaherty, Abedi, Morenci, Stacy, those are the big ones right there for sure. Right. When you think of Beverly football.
I finally got the 50-50 ladies' attention. And Phil made the combo after, yeah. He had trouble believing I couldn't get anybody's attention.
What would you like?
$5 worth.
All right, thank you.
Beverly's working the other way now from right to left. Morenci scrambling left side. He's taken down for a loss of 2 yards back at the 40-yard line. Big tackle there. It is Joe Mariaccio, one of their senior captains, linebacker. Nice pursuit by Wakefield. Second down and 12 now. Minus two for Morenci.
Panthers will be second down and 12.
So here we are in the
no
second quarter.
No chance.
So Tim's got his tickets
I
ready.
I finally got my 50-50 tickets.
They mark it with an M for media, so they rule you out.
I'm so highly paid doing those that I don't need the extra money.
Very, very seldom make a sale up here, though, I'm told. You know, I formation in the backfield behind Morenci. McAlpine, the fullback, I believe. With, and Flaherty, the tailback. Here's a long throw down the right side and caught. Is that Schwinard out of the backfield? Yes, has a wide out right side. Yep, Kyle Schwinard with the reception. Big, big pass catch. Down inside the 20.
Complete to Kyle
down
Schwinard.
To the 10-yard.
One thing I've noticed about the receivers with Beverly, they are catching Gronkowski style. Everything is being caught with two hands, arms extended out in front.
Down to the first and goal, right? 10.
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah, first and goal. The ball, nose of the football just resting inside the 10-yard line. Beverly again with two wideouts, far side right. Eye in the backfield to give us to the tailback. Is that
Callis
going slicing away and into the end zone for a touchdown. Hugh Callis.
Somebody shot him out of a cannon through that offensive line. He got hit in the secondary. You could hear the thud over here in the press box. And he bounced off the individual and just roared into the end zone. So Beverly, two possessions, two touchdowns.
13-0. Luke Sampieri on.
Luke Sampieri will attempt the point after kick for Beverly after the 10-yard touchdown run by Hugh Callis. Does it soccer style, right foot, uprights to our left by the snack bar there. Good, strong kick. Is good.
They may have to raise the net. At the back of the parking lot to handle his PATs. That nearly made it over the catch net.
You know, Beverly has had a history of some really talented kickers, over the years. They've had a couple of soccer players come on and play and kick for them. But Sampieri's definitely has got a very lively foot for sure here. Leg, foot, whatever.
Man, if you want to get a college football scholarship and you don't want to get hurt, become a kicker if you're a soccer player, you know. Just go for the football team.
Yeah.
When I was teaching and coaching in Maryland, one of my baseball players, they actually allowed you. He was a soccer player. He was a goalie, but on Saturdays he was the kicker for the football team, and he actually helped the team beat one of the top teams in the state and that was in our leagues, one of the best teams, and he beat them on a field goal, last second field, 45 yards.
Luke Sampieri to kick off for the Panthers.
Sampieri will kick off now for Beverly. His kick from left to right. Again, he tried a kind of a squib kick his first time. There's a long kick way down, pushing the defender's back. It rolls into the end zone, and Wakefield will start at their 20.
Well, went over their heads. They were up around the 10-yard line, expecting most, as most high school kicks do, to land in front of them. And they watched it sail over the head to hit at the goal line.
Wakefield will start out first and 10.
Mentioned
on
the
defense line
for Beverly earlier, but we didn't get into the secondary. Kyle Schwinard, Sam Abadi, and Kevin Flaherty, some of the guys seeing action further on back for the Panthers. Also out there right now is Alex Copeland for Beverly out there defensively out in the secondary. Looks like a corner. Wakefield offense comes back out on the field, led by sophomore quarterback Mike Lucy. Again, they're without Kobe Nato, who is a senior multi-sport star at Wakefield High School.
Hey,
broke his leg 8 nights ago in a game at a scrimmage at Lynn English High School. Here's a run play for Wakefield High School. It goes nowhere. The ball carrier, Ryan Fitzpatrick.
You guys played great last night.
Yeah, we played pretty well.
Fitzpatrick, the ball carrier for Wakefield, no gain. 9:20 to play in the first half. 14-0, Beverly leading. Wakefield this is just their second possession, right, Tim?
Yes.
Of the game. Long. Beverly really ate up a lot of time with their first possession. Let's see, seven. What was it? Three, almost 8 minutes of the first quarter. Snap from center goes a little bit awry, loose, and Lucy covers it up. Kind of popped up in the air behind the crowd there.
Lucy with the keeper. So Hugh Callis on the tackle for Beverly.
Callis on the hit for Beverly. Wakefield snaps up to the line of scrimmage. They are pushed back into their to their 16-yard line. So it's third down
and
14 for Beverly from their 16-yard line. Lucy with the direct snap out of the shotgun, looks left, lines it up, the pass into a crowd, incomplete. The intended receiver was Pat Leary down on the left side. Leary, a junior.
Lucy pass is incomplete.
8:12 to play, first half. Clock stops.
Nicely thrown ball, real tight spiral, just a little bit beyond the reach of the intended receiver, who again, Bill, as you said, was double covered.
Flag down in that backfield, and it's against Beverly.
I hope they don't get flag happy like last night.
Check out North Shore Sports Night every Monday night at 7 with Rick Moore and Tim Kearns talking North Shore sports. A lot of high school football talk once the season begins. Monday nights at 7 o'clock here on MSONewsSports.com. Two wideouts each way for Wakefield, working left to right. They got a first down at their 35-yard line. Here's a handoff to Alex McKenna coming near side right. His hit, and the ball pops free, but it's down. And that's the right call. The ball was down even though the whistle
Alex
didn't happen
McKenna
right away.
On the carry.
The ball, the runner went down, and then the ball popped free.
Well, he went airborne over a couple of potential tacklers, and he landed. And after he landed, the ball popped loose. Yeah, with the exception, you can't see right in front of the players. I like this angle, Bill, that we have here.
Oh, I love the old place. I mean, they could have left that, you know, because it was a freestanding structure. I mean, that's...
Would you want to stand in that?
Well, it's a little, maybe it's a little tricky, yeah. A little dangerous. Will Shea takes a pitch, comes left side, gets the first down. It was a second and five for Wakefield. He slants off to the left side right in front of the Wakefield bench. He picks about 7 yards on that carry.
What was the penalty call on Beverly? They wanted to open.
Ball to the 47-yard line. Wakefield in their own territory, but making a move here. Going wide out is Carmen Sorrentino to the left side. He's split in. Near side right is Alex McKenna. There's an I formation in behind quarterback Mike Lucy, who's right up behind center. Gives to the fullback. 1 yard gain. That's it. That Callis, yeah.
Yes,
Callis there for the stop. Also,
boy, he's fast on defense.
Abatey was there for Beverly. Sam Abatey.
He shot the gap. And just wrap the runner up real secure.
1 yard gain for
2 yards. Callis is a transfer from Lynn English. We saw him
on the carry, tackled
at Lynn English 2 years ago, and he stood out at Lynn English as well. Then his family moved here to Beverly.
Alex Joy, the fullback, the give us to the tailback out of the I formation, who's pounds ahead, chugging for a couple more yards. That being Joe Marinaccio, running back. Wakefield looking at 48 yards ahead of them to the goal line and 6 minutes remaining in the first half with Beverly leading 14-0.
Joe Marinaccio on the carry.
Very gentle breeze here this afternoon, overcast sky. Wind is blowing a little bit near side to far side here. Fake give to the tailback. Lucy wants to pass. Eludes one tackler, looking upfield, seeing no one. Throws upfield, incomplete.
Oh.
Intended for McKenna.
Through McKenna's hands. He had the opportunity to catch that ball.
Lucy passes incomplete.
And that would have been more than that. That was a good 20 yards down the field. Nice job by young Mr. Lucy to escape the Beverly rush. He's been able to do it a couple of times to get outside. He squares up and throws a real nice pass.
Yeah, if you're the Wakefield coaching staff, you've got to be happy with what Lucy was able to do there. He rolled out right side, stayed calm, and released that ball just as he was approaching the line of scrimmage, as he was scrambling out to the right side. And the ball was
It was catchable.
It was catchable.
Oh,
yeah.
Definitely was.
It was in a crowd, but catchable.
To the punt.
And Wakefield to punt. Back to punt is Pat Leary. Right foot into the ball. Spins it far side. It will land without being caught. And it takes a nice Wakefield roll down to the 10, to the 8.
Yeah, it spun nicely for him. It hit along the far sideline and just angled back into the field of play.
40-yard punt by Pat Leary.
Very
for
good
Wakefield.
Punt for Wakefield. See where they spot it. I think they put it at the 8-yard line. So now Beverly, with 5.5 minutes to play, they have a long way to go. Of course, too, Tim, defensively, you know, if you can make something happen defensively, force a turnover, you find yourself in good field position. If, in fact, something like that were to happen.
Yeah. Panthers will start off first and 10
Beverly's
on
offense
the 8-yard line.
Well, you know, you're hoping for that mistake. You're hoping for the mental error. Yeah. Again, you have to be careful. You can't get overhyped yourself with this defensive opportunity that you let it slip away and let a big play happen.
Kevin Morency, a quarterback, pitches to the tailback. Schwinnard coming near side left out to the 10 to the 15, dances back inside 30. Upfield, here he goes, up to the 35 and brought down there. Big saving tackle by Joe Marinaccio. Schwinnard with a lightning-like run around left end and up the left sidelines, working right to left here is Beverly in this quarter, but Marciano with a Marinaccio, rather, with the big tackle.
He showed great agility. He's tiptoed and cut back against the grain. He danced away from a couple of potential tackles. He faked one guy right out of his shoes as he headed up field. And again, with the adding a missed tackle, and you get a big gain, and you're out from under the shadow of the goalpost.
Ball at the 35-yard line. First down for Beverly. 5 minutes to play. First half. Beverly leading 14 to nothing. Quarterback Morency spins, hands off to the tailback, who gets 1 yard, maybe two. That's
Iannuzzi and O'Brien on the tackle.
Clark Marchand.
Clark Marchand on the carry.
Marchand,
for the
ball carrier.
Iannuzzi is a very active player because he's a running back on offense, but as a linebacker, he's covering a lot of ground, getting in on a lot of plays there.
2 yard carry makes it second down and 8.
And again, that's why you carry the C on your jersey.
Marchand got 1 yard on that, so it's second down and 9 from the 36-yard line. I formation in the backfield for behind quarterback Morency. Spins, fakes the tailback, rolls out to the right side, looking upfield, and it is picked off by Wakefield at the 45, a diving interception, and the ball will be coming back the other way at the Beverly 45.
Outstanding interception. The ball was low, and we have a penalty flag dropped on the near hash marks. Not unless he's just mocking the ball, but
no.
Sorrentino on that pick?
I'm wondering, was that Sorrentino? I thought it was number two.
Phil, who did you have for the
number
pick?
Nine.
Number nine.
It was Pat Leary.
Pat Leary. But again, a great diving interception. The Beverly intended receiver had already gone down to make the reception, and he just dove right in front of him. So, again, now can they take advantage of this break? They gave it the big play to allow Beverly to get out from underneath the goalpost, as I just mentioned. And on the second play, they're able to take the ball away from Beverly. Now can they cash in and get a score on the board before the halftime? 4:05 left in the second quarter here at Hurt Stadium.
Mike Lucy, the sophomore quarterback, out of the shotgun, has a back behind him who he hands the football off to. Big, strong back. I think
that's
P.J. Iannuzzi, yep, the captain.
Yeah, I just mentioned him on defense, and now we call his name on offense.
P.J. Iannuzzi.
Again, Billy, you know, he reminds me of Mr. Ramirez last night from Lynn English, the little bull of a fullback.
Yeah, he's got some size, Iannuzzi. We don't have his the height and weight from Wakefield, but he's looks like he's got some strength. And he is in that backfield once again to the right of the quarterback, Lucy. Fake handoff to him. Quick pass out on the right side. The catch is made by Marinaccio. Upfield down to the 36. Wrestling with a bunch of Beverly defenders. Won't go down, and he gets another extra yard.
Good job. Man. Great second, third effort. As more and more Beverly players piled on, he kept pushing and was able to pull away.
Well, what a great effort by Joe Marinaccio, one of their captains. He was wrapped up 2 yards short of where the ball ends up. The ball ends up at the 34 of Beverly. He was really hit and wrapped up, and there were like five Beverly Panthers trying to wrestle him down at the 36. He kind of angled off of them and kept the legs churning and picks up 2 more yards and gets it down to the 34 and gets a first down. Timeout, Wakefield.
Timeout, Wakefield. Quickly return.
2 minutes, 59 seconds to play in the first half.
Beverly, 34-yard line.
Games this afternoon. Haverhill playing at St. John's Prep this afternoon at 2 o'clock. Pentucket is home this afternoon. They're playing host to Canton. That game kicked off at 1 o'clock. Tonight, St. Mary's hosting Boston Tech at Manning Field at 7. And in college football, underway in Beverly this afternoon, Endicott playing host to Hobart. Kevin DeWall, former Hobart player himself, played at Hobart. In his second year at Endicott College. They lost last week at Framingham State. These are all, I think they open up with three very tough non-league opponents, does Endicott College. Well, timeout ends and Wakefield hits the field. They've got a first and 10 with 3 minutes to play here in the first half at the Beverly 34-yard line. Here's a pitch play to Marinaccio going left side. Chugs ahead for maybe a yard or two. See where they place it down. Placing it down to the 32 for a 2 yard gain. 2:45 to play. So the time and the time and distance important here for
taken down
Wakefield
Justin
High School.
Their
coach, Stephen Cummings. Lucy getting the play call from the bench, the sophomore quarterback. Cummings split end out, near side right. It is Pat Leary. One wide out, far side left. I formation at the backfield. The fullback there is P.J. Iannuzzi. Quarterback rolling right. Throws a dumper off on the right side, incomplete. Scrambling, got a little bit of trouble. Two receivers down there were P.J. Iannuzzi and
Lucy
Brendan Coughlin,
incomplete.
The tight end.
Tommy Adams and Pat Gavin in on the pressure for
Beverly. Those of you listening in, Boston College has scored another touchdown, another pass from Tony to Smith.
It was 2 minutes, 16 seconds to play. First half, 14-0, Beverly leading.
Endicott trailing Hobart 7-6 at halftime.
There you go. Good work on those scores, Tim.
Thank you, Bill.
Your phone finally updated, huh? That's great. Here is Lucy back to pass. Scrambling. He's sacked. Back out by the 45-yard line. About three Panthers were.
Lucy is sacked.
Pat Gavin.
Coming
Pat
after
Gavin.
Him. And Pat
shot,
Gavin.
Yep. Shot the gap in the middle of the offensive line and was on Lucy before he could even turn around.
Pat Gavin, a senior, 6'3", 190 pounds.
Pat
and,
Gavin sacked
with some
good
speed.
For a loss of 14 yards.
Well, you think Hugh Callis is, Calise is troubled. Gavin, not too shabby
fourth
either defensively. So now it's fourth down and 22, and Pat Leary to punt. That a Beatty way back at his 10-yard line. Wakefield to punt. Line of scrimmage to Beverly, 46. This ball snaps, goes over his head, and he'll throw incomplete out on the left side, the punter. And so Beverly will get the football with 2 minutes to play in the first half at their own 46-yard line. Break for the Panthers here.
Ryan
tough break
Bauer
for Wakefield.
In on the pressure for Beverly.
Phil, the prep is building a new football stadium.
What's that?
The prep is building a new football stadium?
Yes, that's true. Yep. Should you have it ready for next year?
Yes. I have an iPod, I have a board, I have a speaker that the microphone can go to. I don't know what year.
I'll unplug with mine.
We'll check the scores at 2 at some point as we from Friday night. So most of the action all last night. Here comes Beverly snapping out of their huddle ball. Probably pretty close to the 45. It's just over the 45 where they start. Their 45 going right to left here, second quarter. Morenci throws over the middle on the left side. The catch is made by Chris Cole. Bounces off one hit. Dives it down inside the 40 to the 35-yard line. Chris Cole with a nice catch.
19 yards. You know, Morenci, Bill, is just laser on. He's hitting all his receivers in stride. Cole, again, coming across the middle from left to right. In stride, caught the ball. And, again, very nicely
quarterback
executed.
Morenci rolling left side. Big pressure here on him, and he dumps it away.
Good play.
Wakefield pressure there being applied by Joe Connell, one of their captain's D lineman. He was just coming right after Morenci. Had nothing there. Rolling left side, looking to pass down the left sidelines.
Yeah, good coverage by the secondary of Wakefield. All receivers down the left-hand side were covered, and Morenci didn't have a chance to square his shoulders at all as he was being heavily pressured, especially by number 79, senior co-captain Joe Connell. So being unable to turn his shoulders to launch it, he did the smart thing and just chucked it out of bounds.
Second down and 10 for Beverly at the Wakefield 35-yard line. Two wideouts for Beverly near side left, including Flaherty, wide out to the left side. Kevin Morenci, the quarterback, give to the tailback, Schwinnard. Straight ahead, he's got a hole inside the 30 to the 25. And they'll place the ball at the 24-yard line. Well, very close to the 23.
23, Phil, or 24? 12-yard pickup.
1 minute, 36 seconds. Beverly leading by a 14-0 score, looking for the third touchdown to close out the half. And I think Wakefield has called for a time here. Didn't see who called it, though. See if Beverly can, whether Wakefield can make a stop here. Keep it a two-touchdown game at the half. Overcast here in Beverly, but not a... not a bad afternoon here.
Yeah, they need to say a similar stop that Lynn Klaskel had against Gloucester last night at the end of the first half where they stuffed him about the 2-yard line. They need to tighten the chin straps up a little bit, make a stop, don't fall behind any further. Get the ball in the second half and get some positive results. Beverly has just been very efficient. They've executed very crisply. The passing game, Morenci to all any of his receivers, have been just simply spot on. I think he had one bad pass, and that was nearly a lateral early. It was his first pass of the game.
High formation behind Morenci. They give us to the tailback, who's Flaherty, ahead for 6 yards.
Kevin Morenci
inside
the
20 to the
19.
About 6 yards. Let's see what they finally put the football down. Yeah.
No. 4 yards. 4 yard gain. Kevin Flaherty.
4 yard gain. One minute, 9 seconds to play, first half. Hugh Calise is wide out to the, or check that, tight to the right side. Two wide outs near side left. I formation behind Kevin Morenci, the quarterback. Schwinnard in motion from the left to the right side. Quarterback roll. They give us to Flaherty coming left side. Turns the corner after the handoff, and he goes down to the 20, to the 15, maybe the 13. Stays inbounds. See if got a penalty here against a holding call against Beverly.
Second down and 16 from the 29. Just under a minute.
Well, they pushed the Panthers back to the 34-yard line of Wakefield. So second down and
so you give them 5 yards.
20.
But it's a 10-yard penalty.
And two wideouts near side left for Beverly. Again, they run out of the I formation behind Morenci, the quarterback. Now a Beatty slot left comes in motion to the right side, takes a handoff, comes around right end, strung out a bit, gets maybe 3 yards down near the 30.
Sam on the carry.
Did he get the sidelines? Clock stops with 25 seconds to play, first half. Ball is on the 31-yard line.
Third and 18 from 31.
It'll be third down.
Bill Newell, Tim Kearns with you here on MSO News Sports. Do check back on our website. We'll announce next week's broadcast schedule first thing next week as to what games we'll be covering next weekend. We usually have one live streaming video game. Last night's Gloucester Lynn Classical game is available on demand on our website. Go to our scoreboard post from earlier today. Trips near side left for Beverly High School. One running back along with Kevin Morency in the backfield as the Beverly quarterback is in the shotgun. Snap comes back to him. Fake handoff. He keeps it and runs straight ahead. He's got 4 yards running out back left. 5 yards, cuts back in for maybe 6-7 yard gain.
Kevin Morency on the keeper.
15 seconds.
7 yard pickup.
And a timeout, Beverly, and an injured Beverly player. Set the offensive line for you for Beverly High School. Jordan Paracella at center. Nick Shares and Jake Bale are the guards. Ben Ames and Paul O'Feish are the tackles for Beverly High School. Got some serious sneezing going on behind us here.
Let's see. Last night we had a 45-minute delay. Oh, that wasn't fun.
Now, Phil, you've got your shirt here, and I'm trying to. What are you trying to sell here with this shirt? What is this shirt here?
This is a one of a kind.
Yeah.
What is that?
Now, Phil's got a very color, a bright white tee here, and with a colorful logo on it.
Okay.
What is that shirt?
Well, this is a Grateful Dead logo.
Okay.
But it's, if you notice, it's got the PF and the 3.
Yeah.
So it's a Pete Frady's 3 shirt.
Okay.
I went to...
It also could be sunscreen, though, too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
yeah. PF, to, is that... Or, yeah.
I went to a Dead & Company show with some members of the Frady's family this summer at Fenway, and they printed these special shirts up for us, so I'm kind of in a very unique group.
Luke Campbell,
nice.
You're on to attempt the field
Thank
goal.
You.
You're very, very fortunate, very special. Here's the Sampieri field goal. A 40-yarder. He got it.
Wow. 41 yards.
Yeah, we'll give him an extra 41
Luke
yards.
Sampieri,
Luke Sampieri,
41-yard field goal.
Oh,
with a couple of yards to spare.
Yeah, no, just barely. You're right. Yeah.
Sampieri field goal makes it 17-0 Beverly.
Oh, my
Nine
goodness.
Seconds left in the half.
You know, whether it's an inch goal. Or a mile, it's still 3 points.
All right, we've seen like in our games we saw last night, Tim, we see teams struggling with the point after kick. Now you got a kicker here that can put points on the board, you know, as a field goal kicker. It just changes the game so much here.
Oh, definitely.
That's probably why Coach Morency came to Beverly with a kicker like that. Oh, my gosh. Luke Sampieri with the point after kick. 41-yard field goal, not a point after kick. He had 2 earlier point after kicks, making the score 17-0, but a 41-yard field goal for Sampieri. And he'll kick off now, right to left. Booms it. This could go for a field goal here. It
wow.
has the distance. It lands in the air halfway into the end zone and rolls out.
He kicked that
65
yards in the air.
First and 10 from the 20-yard line.
Is that a psych out or what? Oh, my gosh.
It can, yeah. It can be intimidating, you know.
Oh, my. He doesn't have a wind at his back. There's a bit of a crosswind, but really not at his back. Yeah. If you're looking at the
flag. Has leg, as they would say.
Yeah. Well, Wakefield will get it again at their own 20-yard line. And now they have just 9 seconds to play in the first half, trailing 17-0 here in Beverly.
Well, it is such a weapon to have, you know, a young man who has the foot or the leg.
Oh, my word, yeah.
65 yards.
Well, here's Mike Lucy at quarterback right behind center for Wakefield. Puts the knee down, so they'll run the clock down here to end the quarter, the end of the quarter or the half. And the time runs down.
Wakefield, zero.
Well, you probably heard that score. That is the score, 17-0. Beverly leading Wakefield at the half. Any thoughts, Tim, for you on this first half?
Beverly looked primed, as I said in the pregame. I think they're going to come out with a lot of energy. They're going to come out raring to go, and they did. Two possessions, two touchdowns. They just had a 41-yard field goal kick. They're going into the halftime feeling really good about themselves, knowing they have to just maintain the momentum and not let Wakefield come out and get anything going early in the second half.
That's Tim Kearns. I'm Bill Newell. We're at the half. Beverly 17, Wakefield nothing on MSONewsSports.com.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. If you're replacing the windows in your home, please see the Anderson 400 Series windows on display at any of our three locations in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire. The Anderson 400 is attractive, durable, energy efficient, and reasonably priced. Remember, Anderson is the most trusted name in windows. See the Anderson 400 at any of our three locations. That's North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Harrington's Trophy and Awards has been rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years. Hi, I'm Kevin Harrington.
And I am Marty Harrington, and we are known for our local family business, providing custom trophies, plaques, screen printing, embroidery, and much more. We offer a variety of services such as engraving wedding gifts, medals for charity walks, youth sports trophies, and uniforms. From the newest style performance wear to your everyday work shirts, we are your one-stop shop. Whether it's a fantasy football, warm-up suits for your team, end-of-the-year banquet gifts, or recognizing excellence, we pride our business on our exceptional customer service and quality products. Located in Lynn, or visit our website at harringtontrophy.com.
Gloria Food Store is still Beverly's number one deli, and no matter what New England weather is thrown at us, Gloria is open. With fresh bread delivered from Sunray Bakery every morning, Gloria can provide party platters, calzones, hot trays, cold trays, salad trays, and finger sandwiches for whatever you have planned. Call in your order at 978-922-3613, stop in at 268 Rantoul Street, or visit GloriaFoodStore.com.
Other power packs, no good.
Catch a game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after.
Wow, good thing that popped up.
Number two, whatever you plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill of Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
One South of Peabody. We are a sports team dealer and custom apparel distributor.
Bill, you want to talk at the
all
half?
All of your teams are company right, uniform and apparel. So stop by and visit us at 182 to see our storefront. Visit with our friendly and helpful staff and let us help you get the right fit for your program. Also, you can visit our website, SarkeesianSports.com, to view our monthly specials and learn more about us.
Be powerful.
MSONewsSports.com. MSO Radio.
Oh, maybe we didn't cut out here. All right, we're back here, and maybe we never went away, as a matter of fact. I'm Bill Newell along with Tim Kearns. A little power issue with our computer, but I think we're good to go here. And Phil Stacey is joining us. He's the sports editor of the Salem News. I'm Bill Newell along with Tim Kearns. Beverly is leading Wakefield at the half, 17-0. Well, Tim, Phil, I know you were in Danvers last night.
Yes.
So, is the Andrea show last night? What was the show here?
Certainly, that was a lot of what happened, especially in that second half last night. You know, kind of took it upon himself to make things happen. And, you know, after a little bit of a sluggish first half, 7-0 Danvers led at that point. Andreas came out, carried it 12 straight times out of the quarterback position on that opening drive. Ultimately, they didn't score, but held Winthrop and then scored on their last three possessions to win 27-7. So Andreas had 174 yards rushing, really kind of, you know, put the team on his back, so to speak.
Taj Coakley came up big with a couple of second-half touchdown runs as well. He had 73 yards on three carries, including two scores. So good opening win for Danvers. Good statement for them.
Now, did you mention that Bordas didn't play?
Dean Bordas didn't play. He's going to be the starting quarterback. He sat out last night. I think he had, a left shoulder. Was dinged up a little bit. So Justin Mullaney, junior, new to the program, came in, and I thought he actually looked pretty well. He was poised, throws a nice ball, ran the offense well, running out of that I formation that Danvers likes to use. They moved the ball very well in the second half under him.
Your impressions of Beverly the first half? New head coach, new, basically all new coaching staff, with the exception of, I think, two holdovers. The drum line instructor is Mark. New offensive scheme.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if people expected to come out and throw the ball all over the yard, a la Swampskin in their heyday or whatnot, but, you know, they still went run heavy. 27 plays, and they ran the ball 20 times. I thought the passes they did throw were well-timed. Even the interception that Wakefield had, it took a very athletic play for them to make it. I've heard you say during the first half that Kevin Morency did a nice job leading his receivers, and I would agree with that. Done a really nice job. Throws a nice ball. He's a veteran. He's a two-year varsity lacrosse goalie, so the pressure doesn't faze him. Four completions out of seven attempts for 73 yards. He looks good as a field general, and Beverly as a whole, it's moving the ball very well. Kyle Chenard chewing up a lot of that yardage on the ground with 83 yards rushing on eight carries.
Were you surprised by, going back to last night, were you surprised by any of the results? Or did it play out basically as you guys sort of predict when you do the Friday predictions?
I think Peabody losing was a surprise. And maybe that's a testament to how strong Triton is this year. I know they certainly have their own veteran quarterback in Louis LaRue, and they got some big linemen and some guys with varsity experience, and you know, PBD's coming off of you've lost a guy who rushed for 2,000 yards two straight seasons.
Yep.
Never been done in North Shore history
and now,
before.
Ladies and gentlemen,
so I think maybe it was you know, if I'm a PBD coach, I'm looking at that and saying, okay, feeling out process first business. Game. We got a lot of things we want to work on here to get better, and we got to bounce back next week at Malden and turn this thing around and make it 1-1. So that was a little bit surprising. Maybe the way that Marblehead won was surprising. I mean, Walpole has been such a quality program for so long. And I realized that game was scoreless at halftime, but Marblehead really mauled them in the second half. 27-0, and my guy said that was at the game said it really could have been worse than that. So very impressed with Marblehead. New quarterback Drew Galley with a few touchdown passes. Harry Craig catches a couple of touchdown passes. Great defensive effort for the Magicians, so nice job for them.
So, Phil, when we look at this large here now in the North and the Northeastern Conference with a Marblehead and with a Beverly,
yep.
Let's say the score holds up today,
yep.
But here in Beverly against Wakefield, are those two teams that look to be picked to win that North?
I think it's probably realistically a three-team race with Beverly, Marblehead, and Danvers.
I meant Danvers.
Yeah, I don't think you could certainly count Danvers out. You know, for Danvers, they're in a fortunate position. They didn't win the league last year, but they won the sectional. And I get the sense that a lot of people are like, yeah, well, they had all those huge kids on the line last year. They lost Danny Lynch. They won't be as good. You know, I saw him last night, and I was impressed. I think they're going to be right there at the end. I think Marblehead certainly, they kind of remind me of the old Bishop Fenwick softball teams that used to say, we don't rebuild, we reload. I think that's the case in Marblehead. It doesn't matter who they plug into the losses to graduation they have. They have guys ready to step up and get the job done, as we saw last night.
And
I think Beverly just has so many athletes that it would be difficult for them not to contend because of who they have.
You had a nice stat in the paper this week, Phil, that Beverly is, what, number two in wins over the last decade, right, with 73
yes.
wins
yep.
here on the North Shore.
Yep.
And I think that speaks volumes to your kind of your base, that Marblehead's getting to that place for sure.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? But Beverly's there. You know, Dan Bauer did a great job in Beverly.
Oh.
And Beverly's a good football city anyways. But
It is, you know. And, I mean, when there's down times, I mean, I remember – 20 years ago, I think they had a 2-9 season, and you would have thought that, oh my, you know, what's happening? Like, you know, do we have to reassess everything here or whatnot? Yeah. I mean, so they do. They take it seriously. I mean, hey, is it like it was in the heyday with, 5,000 people here on a Saturday afternoon? No, it's not. Times change. but it's still very important to the people in this city. And I think, you know, certainly Andrew Morency, the new head coach, is an alumnus, and he understands what it's about. He's not only an alumnus, he's a Hall of Famer. His family, he has a brother in the Hall of Fame. He has a mother in the Hall of Fame here. It's a big sports family in this town, so they understand what it's about. And Beverly is one of those towns that generations continue to play here. There's a lot of former players I see in the stands whose sons play now. So I think they know what it means to carry on that tradition and to, you know, to play for the orange and black and all the rah-rah stuff that, right, you know, still means a lot to 16, 17-year-old kids.
With talking to John Hoffman last night and Lynn, and we were talking about the realignment, Gloucester moving down.
Yeah.
The small school population is down, but he said, you know, it was based on strength, and but he said, you know, that Southern tier is Gloucester's to lose, basically, coming off a 9-2 season.
I would think so. You know, looking at what else is in the South, yeah, I don't really see any serious contenders. I mean, I was impressed with Winthrop last night. They were a much better team than they were a year ago. They got 12 seniors. I thought Pizzamenti, the quarterback, threw the ball very well. He needs somebody to catch the ball. That could be problematic. But, you know, Jonathan, Jesus, last name escapes me, the running back. Very shifty, small, gets through those holes. Did a nice job for them last night. So I think they'll be in the upper half of that NEC South. But realistically, you know, Revere, you know, really good season last year. I think they'd probably take a step back this year. Salem had a tough opening night last night against Archbishop Williams. You know, Swamps get held on for a real low-scoring win at Lynn English. I think, barring any major catastrophes, especially with who Gloucester has, you know, Sanfilippo is obviously a terrific player. Yeah. They've got some depth. They've got some size. I know there are some questions on defense, but I know that Tony Zarelli and his staff will really help to, you know, bottle those up and improve those in the course of the season. I would not be surprised to see Gloucester run the table in league play.
What impressed me about Gloucester last night was how quick they were on defense. They were fast. You know, they got a whole new secondary, but again, secondary played very, very well. They come up and assisted on the run real quick. They sealed the sidelines. There wasn't a whole lot for Lynn Classical to get from them.
No, and having not seen Classical this season in preseason or anything like that, I would assume from what I've heard that they're a typical Classical team, fast, skilled, athletic, nose for the ball, those kind of things. So to hear you say that about Gloucester tells me that, you know, they may even be better than what I've heard.
Yeah, and to Classical's credit, I mean, they played hard the whole game. I thought they lacked some depth. And but they're going to – my cousin, her son's graduated from Classical, and every time we go to Lynn, I always run into her. And I said, these guys are going to win games. These guys are tough. These guys are going to win games. They're going to be a challenge to people. It was not easy for Gloucester last night. You know, it took a terrific pass and run by Edwin to win that game for them.
And wouldn't Classical love to crash the party, so to speak, among that NEC North elite? You know what I mean? No one's got them among the teams that are going to vie for a championship or anything like that. So for them to do so, I mean, what a shot in the arm for that program that would be. As we've seen, though, already through the first week,
Marble had
very impressive last night. Beverly looks very impressive through a half.
Winning 50-50
Damn, a really good second half last night. I think in order for English, Classical, or PB to beat one of those teams, they're going to have to be at their best and keep mistakes to a minimum to have a chance to beat these teams.
All right, what we'll do is we'll step aside. We've got the second half coming up. No winning ticket.
Not even close.
You're the Scarlet M.
Well, well, play again next week, will you, Tim? Give it a shot.
Well, I'm happy to support Beverly Athletics.
All right. Phil Stacey, sports editor of the Salem News. Tim Kearns, I'm Bill Newell. We're at the half, 17-0, Beverly leading Wakefield. We're back with the second half right ahead, just ahead.
The Gloucester House Restaurant at historic Seven Seas Wharf, 63 Roger Street, Gloucester. This is owner Lenny Linquata.
We provide service and product better than anybody else. It comes directly from our boats right to your plate. We have fishermen that work great for us. We are wholesalers that we buy what we want to serve to our customers, and we put the rest of it right out in the market.
The Gloucester House Restaurant. Visit thegloucesterhouse.com.
This is the freshest seafood you can get from our boats to your plate.
For team uniforms and your business's corporate apparel, choose Sarkisian Sportswear, Route 1 South in Peabody. Why Sarkisians? It's quality. Owner Sarkis Sarkisian.
Quality is not only the type of apparel you get and the cleanliness and the professionalism that's used in making that. The quality is in the customer service that we provide from the beginning to the end of the whole process of getting you the type of apparel or uniforms that you're looking for.
Sarkisian Sportswear, Route 1 South, Peabody, SarkisianSports.com.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're thinking of replacing the windows in your home, I can understand the confusion you may be experiencing. TV, radio, and newspapers are simply filled with replacement window advertising, all promising everything under the sun and then some. At Moynihan Lumber, we offer no gimmicks, just quality products, competitively priced, sold to you by a professional salesperson who really knows what he's talking about. That's Moynihan Lumber in North Reading, Beverly, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at moynihanlumber.com.
Score early and often this fall with a low-rate residential loan from the Institution for Savings. The Institution for Savings has fantastic rates, low or no fees, great service, and prompt turnaround. Plus, we service our mortgages in-house, so help is always a local phone call away. For more information or to apply online 24/7, visit institutionforsavingsloans.com or call us at 978-462-2344. Institution for Savings, member FDIC and DIF, equal housing lender.
Underway in the second half, the kickoff from Beverly to Wakefield, fielded at the 2-yard line by Joe Marinaccio, and he runs it out very strongly out to the 28-yard line, where it'll be first down for Wakefield.
If anyone has lost a gold Samsung phone, come to the booth. If you've lost a gold Samsung phone, please come to the booth.
Here come 15 people.
better tell them press box to be over there at that booth.
No one claims it. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
It's a very intimate setting here for now Hurd Stadium. Folks coming up saying hi with the new press box situation here. Run play for Wakefield gets 4 yards or so.
Or five yards.
And the ball carrier there was Joe Mariachi.
Just to show you how far off it was, Bill, the first two numbers of the 50-50 were 9-8. My first two numbers are 1-6.
You had a better chance of cracking the passcode in that phone.
That is so true, Phil.
You were very close to winning the 50-50 over in Danvers last night. That's interesting, though. Mike Lucy, the quarterback for Wakefield, hands off to run player, sweeping around left side, and I think it's Marinaccio again running, and that might be enough for the first down. Very close to the stake.
Yeah, it depends where they give him the spot.
Had a little bit of a shower just a moment ago. They're going to do a measurement here? No, they're waving it ahead. Yeah, saying it's a first down. 17-0, Beverly leading Wakefield. Led 7-0 at the end of the first quarter. And, of course, 17-0 at the half. Just underway, third quarter here in Beverly. Beverly kicking off to Wakefield to start the second half. Beverly scoring late on a 41-yard field goal in the second half from Luke Sampieri. Wakefield has three receivers out near side right, one far side left. No one in the one halfback in the backfield along with the quarterback, Lucy. They heave it way down left side.
Oh, should be incomplete. A flag.
And the
no
receiver
flag.
Was
this pass is incomplete.
Receiver saying, where's the flag on
really?
That one?
Defended
that was
on the
way down at
Johnny
the 35
Jones.
Yard line. Jones, the defender.
I don't want to say he had him covered like a blanket, but.
He's like 5 foot tall.
The receiver was running down the left sidelines and went down. And the question, I suppose, whether he was bumped or not, it looked like he might have been bumped.
He felt like
there should have been a penalty call, but falls incomplete. Second down and 10 for Wakefield from the 38 yard line. They're 38.
Lucy hands off again. Running back is stood up. That's seven. Alex McKenna. Underway just now in the third quarter.
Alex McKenna on the carry.
Sox are trailing 3-0 to Toronto.
Brought down by Tommy Adams and Nick Shares.
No gain.
No gain on the play.
Third down and 10. No gain on that play.
Third down and 10.
Pomerantz?
No, I thought Arado was started today.
It might be.
Lucy to throw on third and 10 out on the left side. The catch is made short of the first down. Calise with the tackle. Really racked up the receiver.
Pass is complete.
The receiver
to Andrew Miller. Tackle on the play by Johnny Jones.
Okay, Jones credited with the tackle. Stand corrected. That makes sense. Jones.
6-yard completion.
So it's
fourth down and four.
Trailing 17-0. You know, it looks like they're gonna go for it. A little too early in the second half, maybe, for a move like this. I guess you have to try to instill some belief in your offense that they can get it. But right. It puts your defense in a really tough position.
Timeout.
Timeout, Wakefield. Let's check the scores from last night. Gloucester defeated Lynn Classical 21-19. That was live streaming video on our website, and we do have the game posted that you can go back and watch it. Some exciting plays in that game last night right here on MSO News Sports. It's on the scoreboard post, very easy to find from last night's action. Swampscott beat Lynn English in overtime, 11-8. How about that score? Danvers 27, Winthrop nothing. All three of those games broadcast live last night on MSONewsSports.com. Couple of games those guys were talking about at the half. Marblehead shutting out Walpole 27-0, and Triton topping Peabody 23-13. We'll check some other scores and also follow some of the action that's going on this afternoon. Just a handful of other games here on the North Shore. Fourth down and about four. Here's a throw over the middle. Catch, completion, first down. Wakefield at midfield. The catch was made by Alex McKenna off the arm of quarterback Mike Lucy.
Yeah, nice job. He found a gap in the... in the Beverly zone. He sat down just a few yards beyond what he needed for the first down.
And
a nice crisp pass. Reeled it in. Got hit almost right away, but that's okay. He had enough for the first down. So the drive is sustained. The gamble pays off.
It does. So that is Wakefield going for a fourth down. The ball was in their own territory. And so it's first down right at the midfield stripe at Hurt Stadium. Hash mark near side right. And the pass is a screen out on the left side to Fitzpatrick. Ryan Fitzpatrick has it, runs left, has a first down, and gets up about 15 yards altogether on the catch and run for Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Just a quick flare pass out into the flat. He took it upfield, a couple of moves on Beverly defenders, and again picks up another first down. Wakefield, again, doing what they needed to do coming out here in the second half, establishing some offensive flow, some momentum. Keeping the ball out of the hands of the Beverly offense.
Well, converting on fourth down like they did from their own territory in the second half here, that could give them a little spark, a little sense of confidence here. The big halfback is P.J. Iannuzzi off to the right side. Here's a long bomb downfield for Sorrentino, and it's knocked down incomplete. Way down inside the 5-yard line. Lucy intended that pass for Carmen Sorrentino, the wideout. Falls incomplete. Second down and 10.
Sam Abadie.
Sam Abadie credited with the defense of breaking that play up.
Yeah, Sorrentino had the ball. He had some position. He went up high for it. He had the ball, but Abadie came in, and as they were going to the turf, Abadie was able to knock it free.
Lucy takes a direct snap out of the shotgun, starts to the right side and runs it down to the 34-yard line. That was Joe Marinaccio, carrying the football.
Yeah, he was riding the coattails of P.J. Iannuzzi.
The keeper, tackled by Flaherty, Abadie, and Shares.
Let's see.
Coming in off the bench is Alex Jolie.
Holding penalty against Wakefield back to the 50-yard line.
Second and 25 from the 50.
So now the ball goes back out to midfield.
25 from the 50.
Second down and 25 yards to go from midfield. They need to get down to the 25.
Fitzpatrick
for the, for
is
the
out.
Lucy
just came back in, Bill.
He did? Okay.
Yep.
Haverhill up 6-0.
Marinaccio was in that last call. Now out of the shotgun, second down 25. Right, Lucy back at quarterback, dumps it off on the right side. The catch is made. Alex Jolly goes down inside the 45 to the 43 or 42.
Yeah, he's a load, Bill.
Yeah, big kid.
Lucy pass complete to Alex Jolly.
7 yards back.
Their kicker.
Brought down by
gain of 7 yards. 5.5 minutes to play, third quarter.
Phil just reported that Haverhill is up on St. John's Prep. The game just beginning, I believe.
Yes.
6-0, is that it?
6-0 from the 43.
6-0.
Thanks for all those details, Tim. Those are helpful.
I'm limited by what I'm given.
Oh, okay. Out of the shotgun, Lucy back to pass, heaves it way, way down on the left side, up for grabs, knocked down incomplete, nearly picked off by Beverly High School. Yeah, that might have been,
Jones. With the,
yeah, that was, is that Gavin back there? Yeah, Gavin broke that up. Patrick Gavin. Oh, no, maybe check that. Is,
44 and 88.
Adams, maybe. Tommy Adams.
Pass incomplete. Broken up by Adams and Jones.
Just under 5 minutes to play, third quarter. Big another fourth down here for Wakefield. They tried the bomb a moment ago, and they'll have to do it again if they're going to go for it here in this situation. The ball is at the Beverly 43. A moment ago in their own territory, they went for a fourth down, trailing 17 to nothing here. So they'll do it again. Quarterback Mike Lucy out of the shotgun, in trouble, tucks it and runs, and he gets smacked hard at the 34-yard line, and he is getting up slowly. He's getting up, though. Man, you could hear that crack maybe from up here. Now he's running off the field fine, but he took a hard hit.
Lucy on the carry.
Not enough for a first down.
Kyle Chouinard.
Chouinard in on the hit.
That,
or Chouinard with the hit, I should put it that way.
Okay, so a car is traveling east.
9 yard pickup.
At 30 miles an hour. And a car is traveling the opposite direction at 40 miles an hour. Which one wins?
The tackle by Chouinard forces a turnover on downs.
Lucy stopped dead in his tracks when Chouinard got to him.
From the 34.
And Bill, as you said, we could hear it up here. It was just crashed. Neither one gave an inch. They literally saw each other and just ran into each other.
Well, it was like a stand-up hit. A lot of, you know, there's some hard hits, but that was just standing. That was the head-on kind of crash.
And that could stand up as one of the biggest hits of the year.
Well, Beverly takes over here on downs at their own 34. And Morency at quarterback hands off to the running back who gets 1 yard out to the 35.
And it was amongst the masses.
That was Chouinard that ran it.
That was Chouinard, okay.
Chouinard, 5'11", 190 pounds. Kevin Morency back this year at quarterback. Passed for 329 yards a year ago. 4 touchdowns. Has a touchdown pass to Kevin Flaherty today. Hugh Callis with a 10-yard run for the other Beverly touchdown. And Luke Sampieri with a 41-yard Beverly field goal for their final points of the first half. We're in the third quarter here, 17-0 Beverly. Beverly handoff from the 35-yard line. They push it 2 more yards ahead.
Yeah, it's Abadie.
Abadie, the ball carrier.
Sam Abadie with the carry.
Sam's adjusting his right shoe.
3 yards for Sam.
3 yard gain is going to make it third down and 6 from the 37.
3 minutes, 41 seconds to play third quarter. Did I hear you're not going to be with Rick on Monday night, Tim?
Yeah, I have a prior engagement to attend to.
Well, it can't be a prior engagement because Rick
always
would,
sounds so sketchy,
you know,
to me.
Yeah.
It was.
Here's Morency.
Arranged earlier. So.
No, but I mean, you have an ongoing contract to be there every Monday night, I believe, for years now, right?
Now,
Beatty for a few yards. It'll be set up a fourth and maybe four or five for Beverly.
I like my paycheck. It's unsigned.
2 yard gain will bring up fourth and four.
So you have a prior engagement. Okay.
I will be elsewhere.
Okay.
Yeah. But if he needs me, I could call in.
Now, in a show like that, the old saying, some guy phones it in, is, you know, that's not a bad thing. You could literally phone it in. It wouldn't be the worst thing in the world.
Yes. I'm actually leaving a question for Gary Larrabee based on his weekly article.
Is it a two-page question?
Wow. You know, I've never Beverly. Lived down that two-part Esner Wintowski interview the very first year. Bill thought it rivaled War and Peace.
That interview with Niz a few years ago was about as long as that Swampscott English football game last night. It was Beverly.
At least I did it in two parts.
It was good. Beverly to punt. Fourth down from their own 35, and the right foot goes into the ball. Punt goes off. Punter will bumped. There's a flag down in the backfield. And
Sam Abatey punt.
Yeah, there's no return. So Abatey, I think Abatey put on a little Academy Award appearance show on well after the flag was thrown. But he's up. He's okay. Looked like he took a bump right in the big part of the body. So he's not a
the referee,
harmful hit.
Referee signaling for the officials. Y'all come back here now.
So this will come back. 2 minutes, 25 seconds to go in the third quarter.
Referee's talking to the Wakefield head coach, explaining the infraction and what went on.
That referee is a state championship baseball coach, I'll have you know. It's Mr. Skip Likens.
Skip Likens.
From Marblehead. Yep.
Very recognizable name in the Marblehead community.
That's right. I had another old baseball coach at the Danvers game last night. You guys remember Dick Sawchuck?
Oh, yeah. He's here tonight, too.
Oh, he is?
Yeah. Linesman.
He is. Okay. Well, Dick was wearing the white hat last night.
Frank Posca's here. I saw him a week ago. He's 40. He's been doing this for 45 years.
Frank Posca has?
I believe so, yeah.
Does he still live in Lynn?
Yeah.
He does, okay.
He's right in front of us here. I think that's about right. Is that possible? Maybe I have that wrong. That's a lot of years. Here's Morency to throw on first down, way downfield, knockdown incomplete. Saving knockdown by Andrew Miller of Wakefield, breaking up that pass that was intended down there for
Chris Cole.
Chris Cole, the senior.
Broken up by Andrew Miller for Wakefield.
Great play by Miller because he was chasing Cole, and he read Cole's eyes, and as Cole was turning to make the reception, Miller turned his body, and he used his right hand nearest to the ball to deflect it away. Very, very well done.
Little shout-out to our two athletic directors, Brendan Kent from Wakefield High School, Dan Keith in his first year here at Beverly High School, taking over for James Coffey, who is up in Falmouth, Maine. And here is Morency on second down and 10. Handoff, running play, Flaherty, right side, dances his way for a first down. Inside, running right inside the 40 to the 35, maybe just inside the 35.
Yeah, the style of that run that he just had was so reminiscent of his older brother, Brendan, who used to get to the line, and then he would pick and weave his way in between various defenders and just continue down the field.
Now wearing that familiar number 33.
Exactly. Will they retire that as a family number after he's done?
Family.
That was hanging up at Gillette Stadium for a while, I remember,
yep.
After in that hall of high school champions thing.
Yep. Yep, they picked the one jersey from the winning team to post.
That's right.
Yep.
Two wideouts for Beverly, far side right. Phil Stacey, Bill Newell, Tim Kearns here. And it's a first and 10 for Beverly. It's a handoff to Abatey. He's ripped down right at the line of scrimmage.
Sam Abatey with the
big
carry.
Tackle there by
Carmen
Wakefield.
Carmen Sorrentino, yeah, wouldn't let go. Got a grip of the ship and shirt and just would not let go. Abatey tried to pull away, but Sorrentino would have none of it.
Had a little splash of rain right at the end of the halftime, and now we have a little splash of sunshine here in the third quarter.
Yeah, Phil's forecast not holding up that he posted.
Bill had a forecast, did he?
Yeah, he got word, a couple of...
It did. It was raining.
It was.
We started
it,
the second half.
It was.
My nephew was here in front of me.
Oh, that
it
was yeah. Oh, no wonder you were busting him on.
Yeah, yeah. I like to bust anybody, but especially blood, you know? I mean, bust those guys.
The poor kid didn't know what you were doing.
No.
To him.
It's like, what do you give me attitude for? You know,
here is Morenci back to pass, but a big pass, Ross. He dumps it off on the right side for Flaherty, who's wrapped up for a loss.
Sorrentino again covering the running back. Flaherty trying to come out of the backfield. Morenci took a very, very deep drop on that screen.
Well, he kind of had to with
yeah,
that rush.
and it forced Flaherty to go deeper, too, to play it. And Sorrentino was just on it in a flash. And as soon as Flaherty got the ball, he was draped all over and brought him down.
25 seconds remaining in the third quarter. Beverly football, third down and 20 for the Panthers.
Third down and 20.
Three wideouts near side left for Beverly. Ball hash mark right side. One half back to the right of quarterback Morenci. He's in trouble as he takes the direct snap from the shotgun. Scrambles, throws up on the right side. Is it caught or incomplete? If it's caught, it's still short of the first down.
I think we're looking for flags here. And by we, I mean the Beverly sideline here.
Well, turnabout is fair play because there should have been one on Beverly on the Wakefield side.
Yeah.
The last drive, and there was no call. And that was very, very close. I agree. It, you know, in our eyes, it could have been a flag, too. But he was there just a second too early, but there was no flag.
Incomplete pass.
That should be the end of the third quarter.
Yeah, there we go. That'll do it. Third quarter ends. No scoring in the third quarter. And we come to the end of the third quarter. It's Beverly 17, Wakefield nothing. This is MSONewsSports.com.
Score early and often this fall with a low-rate residential loan from the Institution for Savings. The Institution for Savings has fantastic rates, low or no fees, great service, and prompt turnaround. Plus, we service our mortgages in-house, so help is always a local phone call away. For more information or to apply online 24/7, visit institutionforsavingsloans.com or call us at 978-462-2344. Institution for Savings, member FDIC and DIF, equal housing lender.
People come in, take a seat, you're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. We'll treat you right, day or night, satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Catch a game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever your plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Fourth and 20 for Beverly. Abatey to punt. Puts it in the air from left to right. It goes to over out of bounds on the near side here. The punt was from left to right. The line of scrimmage being the Wakefield 44. And it will be marked outside the 25 at about the 26 or 7-yard line. So Abatey tried to hit the corner and kind of hit the sidelines a little too much. Probably wanted to place that a little bit further in than he did. Oh, wait a minute. They got a 9. That's not bad. Yeah, 27 is where they'll start.
Two possessions that whole third quarter.
Is that right? Phil's saying two possessions in that quarter. It's like almost the first quarter here.
You guys mentioned James Coffey earlier. I still stay in touch with James now, and every time I talk to him, I say, you guys got snow yet? I think he's starting to get sick of it. But.
Well, we follow him on Twitter still. The
yes.
Falmouth football team won last night big. So he probably had a lot to do with that.
I told him I want a Yachtsman t-shirt.
Yeah.
You know? I want to be the first kid on my block to have a yachtsman.
Tom Gonzalez with the tackle there, and run play for two yards out to the 29.
44, 2 yards.
Ianuzzi with the carry.
That was Ianuzzi, ball carrier.
2 yard game.
A little more sunshine here. Sunshine, it's like one of those dimmer switches. It's kind of fading up a little bit here, turning the lights on in the room.
Came out all right.
Here at Hurd Stadium. Direct snap comes back to the quarterback. Lucy, quick pass out on the right side, falls incomplete. Kind of a pass right along the line of scrimmage, incomplete. But upfield and incomplete.
Yeah, he had to leave up for that pass. Looking through the timing of the playoff, and he hurried his release, and he threw it over his intended receiver. For anybody who cares, Everett over Zavarian, 7-0.
People care about that, okay, Tim. I mean, come
that's
on.
What I said. If anybody cares,
I mean, that kind of snarky, isn't it? I mean, that comment like that. I mean, that's not like you, Tim, is it? You know, come on.
I'm never snarky.
It's third down I'm sorry. Go ahead. Third down and eight.
Everett will be in the conference next year playing some sports, but not all sports.
Yeah, not football, apparently. Here's a pass that's knocked down, nearly picked off. Schwinnard, I believe. Schwinnard almost intercepted that ball for Beverly.
Lucy dropped and rolled left and then tried to throw against the grain, and that's always a dangerous pass. It's a longer pass, and the defense reacted very quickly to it.
Wakefield will... I was going to say punt, but they have a fourth down and eight here.
If anybody really cares, there are $30 student tickets still available at Gate B for Jason Aldean and Kid Rock. Phil, I know you're going to be in that line.
Oh, yeah. I'll be there shaking my booty.
Are you going to be twerking?
Yeah. If I can find out what that is. Yeah.
Somebody's turned that dimmer switch Bill was talking about.
All right. Pat Leary is ready to punt. He booms a great punt away for Wakefield. Takes a nice Wakefield roll, landing at the 30, rolls inside the 20, rolls inside the 10. Fielded there by the 8-yard line by Beverly. Run back out to the 10, to the 12. Pursuit now by Wakefield, and they cut him down shy of the 20.
Yeah, I think that's a Beatty.
Beatty punts and does the punt returning for Beverly. So 9:50 to go in this football game. Wakefield trailing Beverly 17-0. This Wakefield team will play host to Marblehead next Friday night at Wakefield, 7 o'clock kickoff. Beverly plays host to Gloucester here next week, right? 1 o'clock game.
Yes.
Game will be right here on MSO News Sports. .com.
The prep has Tide Haverhill 6-6. Hayden Rocket from Yaren. The extra point attempt failed.
Rolling out right side is Morenci firing upfield. The catch is made to a Beatty, I believe, coming out over the 30, out of bounds near the shy of the 35, but outside the 30. On the near side, enough for a Beverly first down. Pass from Morenci to Abadi. Well, the spot is 11-yard gain.
For Sam Abadi, ball just shy of the 30. The
9.5 minutes to play. 17-0. Beverly leading. The scoring in the first half. Kevin Morenci to Kevin Flaherty for the first touchdown. 1 yard pass play. Capping a 56-yard drive. Hugh Callis with a 10-yard run in the second quarter. Luke Sampieri with point after kicks on both of those touchdowns. There's a run play. Flaherty starts, stops, starts again, and is hit down. But he gets a first down out over the 40 to the 43. Well, that's classic Flaherty running, family Flaherty running right there. And then Luke Sampieri, near the end of the first half, nails a 41-yard field goal for the last three Beverly points today. 17-0.
Another Panthers first down.
Moving to another sport, to baseball, MLB Pipeline reporting that Ryan January has entered the Diamondbacks' top 30 of players early in his baseball career.
First down, Beverly at their 42-yard line. Morency, no handoff, runs it, and is taken down. Might have lost a yard or so. P.J. Iannuzzi, one of the tacklers for Wakefield. 8:20 to play here, fourth quarter. No gain for Beverly.
Going to be second down and 10.
Phil, is Roger Day coaching anywhere? He's
no.
not. Okay.
No, I saw him over here.
I saw him here, and I you know, I've done, now that I'm thinking back, I was wondering. I thought he might have had a clipboard, but maybe he didn't. But so I'm thinking.
He had a piece of pizza.
He finally had the opportunity to go to the concession stand.
First time in forever.
Yeah. Flaherty, Roger Day, assistant coach here last year. They give us to Schwinnard. He's taken down in the backfield, the running back, after getting
Kyle
the handoff.
On the carry.
Welcome.
Joe Marinaccio with a big hit. Shot the gap for a loss. Zavarian has tied the prep at 7.
Tied Everett.
Is it at the Everett prep game you're talking
was
about?
Was that a play on?
Not the Everett prep game. I'm sorry.
Are you talking prep Haverhill?
Yeah.
No. Everett Zavarian.
Okay.
Yeah.
You said Everett's tied. Oh, Zavarian's tied the prep.
Yeah. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I take that back. They tied Everett. I thought you were making a play on the Everett. Go tied.
Third down and 10 for the Panthers on the 42-yard line.
We can take a little more time to sort this out, but I think we got it now, right? I think we got this. Yeah.
I'll read them more carefully the next time, I promise.
No, that's fine. I mean, they're only one. There's like one other game going on this afternoon here.
All right, Bill.
Two or three.
Okay.
Here's Morency rolling out to the right side on third down and 10, getting big pressure, dumps it off. Incomplete pass. So it'll be fourth and 10 for Beverly at their 42.
Well, the Wakefield defense is definitely stiffened.
Yeah.
As Beverly has been forced to punt throughout the second half. They haven't scored any more points. Unfortunately for Wakefield, they haven't been able to get any kind of offensive consistency going themselves to close the gap.
You know, I'm thinking, looking at this Beverly team, I think their defense is going to be a strength of theirs this year. I think that's the case.
You've got size, speed, you've got experience.
Definitely have some quality players. Here's Sam Abatey to punt, standing back at the 26. Got their long snap, puts the right foot in the ball, boots it away, kick lands at the 33 or so, rolls. Hits one of the Panthers.
Why did he do that? Why did he do that?
Now it's covered up, and I think that then it was touched by a Wakefield player.
It hit a Beverly player. The Wakefield player dove for it, and then Beverly ended up with the ball.
Did they, though?
Yeah.
They haven't signaled that.
I don't think so.
Wow. I thought there were two Beverly players there. I thought they beat the kid to the ball. I thought he fumbled as he tried to get it.
Hit the Beverly guy,
Wakefield player, then went for the ball. Looked like the Wakefield player put his hands on the ball. So the question is, it is a Wakefield football. Look for a moment there that Beverly might catch a huge break and get the football well down into Wakefield territory. The ball's at the 27. So that would have been a huge turn of events. So Wakefield gets the football after the Beverly punt at their own 27.
Should we send that to Rick?
There's a quick pass out on the left side.
You might be happy you thought he was 37.
Yeah. The rest wouldn't be good news at all.
There's a catch. The pass play out to Alex McKenna. He sweeps the left side, runs up from Lucy, and it's a first down catch and run out over the 40 to the 44.
17 yards.
That would be good for 17 yards. Thanks, Phil.
You're welcome.
6:16 to play. You going to share that tweet with the folks that you shared with us? Maybe not.
Let's not
share that. Yeah,
he might get upset with me. Though I'm going to try to find a way to send it to him.
There you go. You can. Oh yeah. So Lucy checking off at the in the shotgun as a halfback to his right side. Two wide, three wide outs to the right, one to the left. Pass rush on. Lucy can't find an open receiver and is sacked. Loss of maybe 4 yards. All kinds of Panthers there, including Sam Abatey.
28-8.
No, check that.
Marshawn,
not Sam Abatey. It would be
and Pat Gavin in on the
Gavin
for Beverly.
Yeah, good play by the Beverly secondary. They had everybody very well covered. Lucy had no choice but to hold on to the ball and then try to make something out of it. And again, the Beverly Beverly front seven just Gavin kept kept the pressure, kept coming after him, and finally brought him down.
Second down, about 13. Lucy back to throw, setting up, firing up the right side. Incomplete. Intended there for Pat Leary. If he caught the ball with a defender draped all over him or right behind him,
Lucy,
he would have been short of the first down.
By Johnny Jones.
Jones credited with breaking that pass up.
Gavin came flying. He beat the left tackle again, and he was streaming for Lucy, but Lucy stepped up in the pocket, and Gavin didn't get a chance to get a hand on him, but a little chirping starting to go on.
I think you could have won some money if you had predicted that Wakefield would be throwing more passes than Beverly today, or attempting more passes, I should say.
I mean, I could have made my money back from the 50-50?
Yeah. Would have been nice if you buy some hot dogs at halftime one of these days instead of throwing your money away.
Wow. Long throw downfield, almost caught by Alex McKenna. Way, way down at the 36-yard line in Beverly territory.
Too much for a first game.
Defended by Johnny Jones and Nick Berry.
Incomplete pass, and that was almost caught by Alex McKenna. Would have been enough for a first down.
Yeah, I didn't think he had to leap for that ball. If he just continued to run, he would have run right underneath it. But he stopped, and then he leapt back. And went off his fingertips. He almost had the opportunity to pull it in. But again, another opportunity missed for Wakefield.
How much did you spend on the 50-50 tickets, Tim?
$5, Bill.
Five, okay. So you could have bought us hot. Well, you could have bought Phil and myself a hot dog anyways with that money. Here's a punt from Wakefield to Beverly. Roll, nice, again, another nice roll off the foot of Pat Leary. Fielded there by Abatey back inside the 20. Comes back to the left, out near the 30, and a flag falls there.
Sam Abatey with the return of the Leary punt.
Said Brian McGonigal on the tackle. One of the tacklers.
Looked like a bit of a horse collar as well on that tackle.
We'll see where this flag, who is it directed at. 5 minutes to play. It's against Beverly. They mark off yardage against the Panthers. Beverly leading here 17-0. We're in the fourth quarter. 5 minutes, 4 seconds to play in this afternoon's game.
I think that's only their second penalty of the game, Phil. They played a very disciplined game.
Third.
Yep, I was close. I was closer to that than I am to the concession stand to buy you guys hot dogs. Well, you know,
I like the idea.
Before the next game I do, I'll go to the bank and get a loan so I can make sure I can cover your your dining expenses.
Well, Tim, we're concerned about your gambling habit,
exactly.
You know, and as well as possibly some nutrition for ourselves.
Yeah, so you're trying to redirect my expenses, right?
Yeah, yeah.
This is where we're coming to. I see someone with a Garoppolo T-shirt down there. I mean, my goodness.
Either she's a person of great faith or little faith.
Quick pass out on the right side, and I think it's a hookup with Pat Gavin. Sam Abatey, the receiver, running it ahead for 5-6 yards maybe.
If Colin Kaepernick's jersey could soar to number one among 49ers, give Garoppolo a chance.
All right, that's a good point. That's a good point.
Point taken.
6 yards on the Abatey pass from Kevin Morency. Two wide outs, far side left for Beverly. Tight end set Hugh Calise to the near side right. And the quarterback right up behind center. Morency hands off to the tailback. This is Flaherty. Ahead he goes. He's got that Flaherty gait to him, and he's got enough for the first
Kevin
down.
Flaherty with the big run.
Yeah, just
running,
standing up, running maybe. Forward, keeping the shoulders square, Bill, as you mentioned, that Flaherty style.
Yeah.
8-yard carry by Kevin Flaherty is good for another Panthers. First down.
First down, Beverly.
Bill just having words with the Bethesda Wakefield AD.
Brendan Kent, yep. Brendan.
Frost.
What?
Brendan Frost?
No, Kent. Brendan Kent. Okay. He was at Melrose, not as AD, but as you know, was worked at Melrose, and then last year came to Wakefield. That's a hot trade right there, I guess. Here. From Melrose, that's like a Beverly Salem kind of deal. It's like big, like Gallagher coming to Beverly from Salem.
Seismic.
Yeah, seismic. Yeah.
Kevin Flaherty with the carry.
You know, Bauer to Marblehead's pretty seismic in a way, too, in a way, yes. The way those two schools have battled. Maybe not not quite the element, you know.
So was it the Beverly kid who threw the rock through his window?
I saw that in the news today.
I can see Mrs. Bauer here. I can see her from here. She's at the game today. On the hill?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, right there.
4 minutes, yep. 3 seconds to go.
Right.
You know, Phil, this would be great. You know, because you're Mr. Beverly here. If you could point out some names here, you know, no.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
As far as we're concerned, you are. Yeah, I could call you that.
I think if I was sitting on the grass in front of us, they'd be playing "Fool on the Hill" by the Beatles.
Whoa!
Flaherty takes the handoff, and he's wrapped up in the backfield. He bounced off one tackle, going right, then circled around and went back left, and ends up losing a few yards to set up a third and. Maybe 10, just back to the back
right,
to 10.
Yeah, lost the yard.
Who else are you seeing here, Phil, in the crowd? You know what I'm saying? If we were to do the folks in the crowd
Phil Stacey. Well, I try not to name drop, I mean, but there are many luminaries here today.
Well.
And I'm not even, on the side of the people anymore, so I don't see as many. There are certainly people that, no doubt I'll have a few favors asked of me on my way to... the field to interview the coaches. You know,
how many Stacys are here, for example?
I believe just two.
Okay.
I believe my guys, my own sons, I asked them if they wanted to come today, and they were like, yeah, I don't think so, Dad. okay. That's all right. But I did see my nephew, and I saw one of my brothers here, so, there is some royalty in the house.
Well, seeing how you gave your nephew a hard time. Your sons would have been probably dreading coming by in front of us.
You know what? Believe it or not, I'm actually like a softy with them. They don't get the wrath so much. I think I've discovered now that it's like a set of rules in my house, and then everybody else has another set of rules, which probably stinks for everybody else. But I think I would like to think my kids would say I'm a cool dad, but. Who knows? That's because they're young. They don't know any better.
Well, having them not show up with you today speaks volumes to that, I think. Yeah. 3 minutes, 51. You want to come? Dad, no. I'll hang home, Dad. Thanks for asking, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here's Morency on 3rd and 10, rolling right, rolling, looking. Line of scrimmage, running, wrapped up. Wrapped up on the ankles.
Kevin Morency with the keeper.
Tackled there by... P.J. Iannuzzi, captain.
Again, Wakefield's defense is trying to keep them in the game here and, just
doing what they can.
Playing outstanding second-half defense against the Panthers, but unfortunately they can't match the intensity and the execution on the offensive end.
Really been a uneventful second half, I think you could say.
Truly uneventful.
And that's not to say that Beverly hasn't played well defensively. I mean, they're 3 minutes and 40 seconds away from pitching a shutout, which is impressive. Yeah. I'll have to go back into the archives and find, if that does happen, find out the last time a new head coach earned a shutout in his first ever game for the Orange and Black.
You just have to look up. There's not a lot of coaches in Beverly. Most of them hung around for quite a while.
Most of them have, but you'd be surprised. In the first, 40 years or so of the program, it was like, it wasn't who was coaching that year, it was who was coaching that game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Crazy.
Yeah. 3 minutes, 40 seconds to play here in the fourth quarter. Abadie to punt for Beverly, boots it away. Good high punt, middle of the field. Now rolls near side here. Whoa. Fielded there by Wakefield at the 35-yard line, and maybe a two-yard return there by
that was a
Ryan
daring
Fitzpatrick.
Play. I say, he must have been feeling lucky.
He took a hit, a little shaky.
Sam Abedi with the punt.
Fitzpatrick fielding that.
No, just getting back to what you were saying about Beverly coaches and all.
Tackle by
we were
Alex
trying to
Copeland on the play.
Dig up a lot of nuggets and whatnot before the season started. And I guess I was surprised, but shouldn't be, that out of all the schools in this area, the most victories still belongs to Salem High School, which to me is a real testament to the program over the years because, you know, they've struggled for going on almost two decades now.
Yeah.
They've had a tough stretch of, you know, really ever since they won that Super Bowl in 1999. I think they have one winning season, one 500 season, and, you know, they've taken their lumps. But they're still number one all time, 653 wins, you know, which Beverly is only 15 behind, so they could catch them in a couple of years.
Lucy at quarterback for Wakefield dumps it over the middle. Catch is made. Line of scrimmage was, 38-yard line.
Yeah,
and they catch and run up to the 41, so about a 3-yard gain.
What coverage?
Maybe four.
Complete to Jack Shannon.
Shannon, the receiver, the tight end. Jack Shannon,
Nick
the junior.
And Pat Gavin in on the tackle for the Panthers.
Now, Phil, what team was number one in wins over the last decade?
3-yard gain.
That's Gloucester.
Gloucester's
still number one, and you're cheering joyfully there. I thought there was no cheering in the press box.
There's Lucy throwing upfield. Tipped and intercepted. And I think that's Gavin or Abedi. Abedi upfield. And, Abedi down to the – all the way down to the 18.
Intercepted by Sam
Tipped and then
Abedi.
The receiver tipped the ball off his fingertips. So the ball wasn't that poorly thrown.
No.
And it went off the receiver's fingertips. And then right there, zing – there was Abedi to intercept it and run
took
it back.
Took that 37 yards back, too.
Yeah.
Gives him the ball.
37-yard interception return for Sam Abedi.
And that's why you do the tip.
Makes it first and
that's
10
right.
from the 34 for the Panthers.
Well, you know, you look at Paul Ingram's last 4 years. He went 13-0 each of those. He had 39 wins over those 3 years. And the other year he that they didn't win the Super Bowl but went to it, they lost two games.
11-2.
Here's Flaherty taking a handoff, left side of the line, running it off and goal line, near the goal line, and he's cut down at the 1 yard
Kevin
line.
Flaherty with the big
so
run on
Flaherty
first
with
down.
About a 33-yard run there.
Yeah, they lost to Swaskett early in the year.
Right.
They didn't lose again until the Super Bowl.
23-yard gain there for Flaherty.
23-yard carry by Kevin Flaherty. Brings up first and goal from the one.
You know, Phil, how often do you see that? You see a turnover. Your team is trying to get some going. Your defense has been playing good. Outstanding, really. And the very first play after the turnover, you get gashed.
Yeah. Team's in a letdown. Beverly takes advantage. Flaherty, real nice play. And you know what? Rightfully so, they give him the ball there to go into the end zone.
There it is, a touchdown. Kevin Flaherty from 1 yard out. Here in the fourth quarter, the only score so far in the second half of today's game. This a one-yard run.
I think that'll seal it.
1 yard touchdown run makes it 23-0, Beverly. Luke Sampieri on to attempt the extra point.
Well, Sampieri has 2 point afters today. He's 2 for 2 there, plus a 41-yard field goal. This kick to the uprights to our right is up. And that is good.
I think you left out recruiting calls from Alabama, Ohio State, and USC as well.
Here, the extra point makes it 24-0, Beverly.
24-0, the score. And now 2 minutes remaining, about 2 minutes remaining in today's game. I'm Bill Newell along with Tim Kearns and Phil Stacey, the sports editor of the Salem News, is with us. What do you got there?
Some more nefarious tweets. Right there. Strange but true.
Juca Morales, 55-yard interception return. Point after was good. 13-6, Haverhill.
Yeah, you're getting what do you follow, Tim? You're getting some
that's
strange tweets on your phone today.
Sean Brennan. You know? I don't know. He just ends up here.
I'm not talking about the scores. I'm
like
talking
the
about these other things.
Choir
showing
up
channel,
with Twitter. Yes,
yeah. WCVB News.
I'm
sorry.
Oh, man. Here's the kickoff. Beverly to Wakefield. Ball high, high in the air. Coming down from Sampieri at the 11-yard line. Fielded there. Ooh. Run back up the right sideline. Receiver bounces out over the 35 out near the 40-yard line. 26, yeah.
A determined run. He just refused to be taken down and let anybody grab him by the feet. He just kept pulling out.
Ryan Fitzpatrick. Keep an eye on that name. That kid.
Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, he was the one that.
For Wakefield.
Xavier just pulled ahead of the Everett Red Tide. 14-7.
You know, that's a game right there you don't even have to go to because everybody and their brother will be there. And they're sending out all kinds of tweets, so we can be here and get updates from there.
It's not the Red Tide, it's the Crimson Tide from Everett. Sorry about that, guys.
The Red Tide, yeah.
I lost it there for another moment.
Yeah. The Fever. Here's Lucy to throw on first down upfield. It's intercepted there. Right away, it's intercepted by Nick Berry of Beverly High School, I believe, from the 45.
Runs it up
over midfield down to the 40. And he takes it down to about the 40-yard line. Minute 45 to play.
Dustin Pedroia just hit a home run for the Red Sox, so they're at least on the board. I think they're down 3-1 now.
Nothing crazy going on at the Sky Dome from any of your other tweets.
No, nobody's in the window.
Yeah. The hotel, yeah.
I didn't want to go there, but all right. Yeah, really nice defensive performance today by Beverly. You got two interceptions that we just saw by Abatey and Berry. You have a sack and a half for Pat Gavin and another half a sack by the sophomore Clark Marchant. Real good pressure up front by the Beverly starting unit. And I know that Coach Morenci feels like his linebackers and defensive backs, three captains in the secondary, are really the strength of his team. So real nice job by them.
Yeah, and it's been a total team effort for this win, for sure.
Beverly with a first down at the 30, maybe just about the 39, and the handoff, and it
backups in now.
Goes to Copeland. Alex Copeland.
Carry for the Panthers.
Copeland carries for, it looks like about a 6-yard gain. Second down and four.
Minute 25
to play.
Brings up second down and
24-0 our score. Beverly leading Wakefield here this afternoon. 17-0 at the half. 7-0 at the end of the first quarter. No scoring at all in the fourth quarter. So Beverly's got the one touchdown in the second half. And quarterbacking for Beverly High School, Nick Berry, hands off, and it's a run play off the left side. Very short gainer. Schwinnard, though, still
Alex
there.
Copeland with the
No, Copeland
carry.
The ball carry. My mistake. Under a minute to play. So this is winding down here. Kevin Morenci to Kevin Flaherty for the first score today in the first quarter. Hugh Callis, a 10-yard run in the second quarter for the second score. A 41-yard field goal by Luke Sampieri near the end of the first half. And then Kevin Flaherty, 1-yard touchdown run in the fourth quarter here. Sampieri 3-for-3 in point after kicks for Beverly. 24-0 our score. Time ticking down here. Beverly will take maybe one more snap, and no time ticks down, so they have a delay of game call here, and then we'll put the knee down.
The Preppers scored again. They trail 13-12 after the extra point attempt was blocked.
Boys, I'm going to call it a day. Thank
All right.
you.
I might see you down there, Phil, in a moment.
All
and
right.
we'll thank you for joining us. And
thank you for having me.
There's the time running down. 24-0, our final score.
Beverly 24.
Tim will be back with the recap just ahead here. Beverly 24, Wakefield nothing here on MSONewsSports.com.
All right.
Oh!
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. If you're replacing the windows in your home, please see the Anderson 400 series windows on display at any of our three locations in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire. The Anderson 400 is attractive, durable, energy efficient, and reasonably priced. Remember, Anderson is the most trusted name in windows. See the Anderson 400 at any of our three locations. That's North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Harrington's Trophy and Awards has been rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years. Hi, I'm Kevin Harrington.
And I am Marty Harrington, and we are known for our local family business, providing custom trophies, plaques, screen printing, embroidery, and much more. We offer a variety of services such as engraving wedding gifts, medals for charity walks, youth sports trophies and uniforms. From the newest style performance wear to your everyday work shirts, we are your one-stop shop. Whether it's a fantasy football, warm-up suits for your team, end-of-the-year banquet gifts, or recognizing excellence, we pride our business on our exceptional customer service and quality products. Located in Lynn, or visit our website at harringtontrophy.com.
Gloria Food Store is still Beverly's number one deli, and no matter what New England weather is thrown at us, Gloria is open. With fresh bread delivered from Sunray Bakery every morning, Gloria can provide party platters, calzones, hot trays, cold trays, salad trays, and finger sandwiches for whatever you have planned. Call in your order at 978-922-3613, stop in at 268 Rantoul Street, or visit GloriaFoodStore.com.
People come in, take a seat, you're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. We'll treat you right, day or night, satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Catch a game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever your plan, plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Hi, this is Saka Sarkisian, owner of Sarkisian Sportswear, located on Route 1 South in Peabody. We are a sports team dealer and custom apparel distributor that can handle all of your team's or company's uniform and apparel needs. So stop by and visit us at 182 Newbury Street in Peabody to see our storefront. Visit with our friendly and helpful staff and let us help you get the right fit for your program. Also, you can visit our website, SarkisianSports.com, to view our monthly specials and learn more about us.
All right, we're back here at Hurd Stadium with the final score, 24-0. Beverly with an opening win for new head coach Andrew Morenci over Wakefield. Joining me now, as he did every game for the past 7 or 8 years, is former head coach and now current principal at Marblehead High School, Dan Bauer. Dan, welcome back to Beverly.
Yeah, it's great to be here. You know, it's kind of odd standing on the sideline, hanging out. But it's great to see you, Tim, and all the support you did. But the guys really played well today.
They really look good. They, you know, talking about before the game, and I said, you know, Bill asked me what I thought. I said, I think they're going to come out with a lot of energy. First time back on this field, you know, and you want to play well for the new coach and all that. And, boy, they come out, and they just punch Wakefield in the mouth. Two possessions, two touchdowns, really set a tone. To Wakefield's credit, they came back in the second half, really tightened up defensively, but just couldn't get anything going offensively.
No, they couldn't. It was a situation where it's exciting to be down here. I have goosebumps, and I can't imagine these guys have been waiting, you know, 2 years to be back down here.
Yeah.
And, you know, the new helmet color, right? All the hoopla, and they played well. They really grounded it out, but they threw the ball when they needed to, and yeah. They looked really sharp. And, you know, Wakefield, to their credit, as you said, they didn't give up and they didn't quit. You know, I know they're missing their starting quarterback. He was out, but that's no excuse. But, you know, it was nice to see Beverly grounded out, and it's good to see some of those guys that I had a chance to coach play so well, and Andrew's doing a great job.
Yeah. Now, I noticed you wore the safety cap today. You didn't wear Marblehead. You didn't wear Beverly. You wore your Pennsylvania hat.
Very strategic. On this side of the bridge, it's always neutral. No, but you do feel a lot of loyalty. I got the chance to hang out with Coach Hamer, Coach Rosinski, those legends, and you know, that's what makes it special.
Yeah, it has to be a special opportunity to come back and be on the sidelines and see a lot of the fans that were here all during the years that you were here, and the kids, the parents of the kids who are still playing in the program right now. But again, to have the opportunity to sit up there, to, as you mentioned, two legendary coaches from Beverly football past, and look at the game again from the other perspective.
The other perspective. I always say the best coaching happens in the stands, so I did a pretty good job coaching today.
You didn't make any mistakes.
No mistakes.
Okay, so how's life in Marblehead?
Life's been good. We adjusted well the first 2 weeks and moving on, and had a chance to watch the Marblehead Magicians play last night. They played Walpole, and good game there, and the other athletic teams have started out, so it's been a good start there. Yeah. And it was everybody's very excited, and, you know, it's a lot of fun.
Enjoying it?
I do. You know, I watch things vicariously now through everybody, but
yeah.
Now tonight I'm not breaking down film. I'm figuring out where to go for dinner.
and the wife is still down below waiting for you.
She is. Well, my daughter's in the band.
Oh, okay.
So that's a great excuse to be here. Not an excuse, but she's in the band. And
excellent.
Yeah, so it's good stuff.
Excellent. Okay, now I see you're getting the look from down below.
I'm getting the look.
You're getting the look, so I'm going to let you go. I want to thank you for coming by. Well, I look forward to catching up with you outside of the athletic arena.
Me too, and I hope you invite me back sometime. You know, I could be a sideline correspondent, tell you what's good at the concession stand and what's happening.
I got ragged by Phil Stacy today because I bought 50-50 tickets, and that means I didn't have any money to buy him and Bill hot dogs. Already it has started, I'll tell you. It's nuts. I want to wish you continued success at Marblehead. And maybe once I retire, I'll come over and do some substitute teaching in your history department for you.
That, and we'll run the halls for us.
Ooh, that'd be fun. Well, can I walk the halls? Running kind of not my thing nowadays.
Great to see you, man. Thank you so much. Always a pleasure.
Thanks for coming up. We'll talk soon.
Yeah, you got it.
Okay, buddy. That's been Dan Bauer, the former head coach of the Beverly Panthers, now the principal at Marblehead High School. And we will talk to Dan during the course of the year. As he comes by, he's going to put the headset back on, and he just said yes, he would. Okay, so again, the final score, 24-0. Beverly with an opening season win in the Coach Morency era over Wakefield. For Bill Newell, our producer, Bill Papowski, I'm Tim Kearns. We thank you for listening. And we'll be back next Friday night with more Northeast Conference football action, as well as next Saturday here from Hertz Stadium with Beverly Gloucester.